much about.
You got to put it in perspective. What's all the excitement about?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I've got 2 tickets to paradise. I've got 2 tickets to paradise. Excellent guitar riff.
That's real talk right there, man.
These will be my final show performances in London.
And now,
remember Alaska. America is now more than ever looking north to the future, and it'll be good.
Our feature presentation,
The Summer of Death.
It has been the Summer of Death. That is true.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What the hell?
The Summer of Death.
We have been on vacation for 2 weeks, and boy, I'll tell you, we go away, everything falls apart.
Every time. We were on vacation for 9/11.
Not sure how that happens, but every time we go on vacation, I guess you could say we're the glue that holds society together.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's a good way to look at it. And you could look at it. Your way is accurate. My way is hopeful and ridiculous.
All right, I'll go with you.
But at least since we've been on vacation, the Lakers lost Trevor Ariza and got one of my least favorite players in the NBA.
Who's that?
What's his name? Ron Artest.
Oh, you're kidding.
Like, remember during the playoffs, I was like, I hate that guy.
Yes, you despise him.
I hate that. He's just a thug. He's just...
he's on the Lakers?
Yep. That happened.
God torturing you.
So that's good times. So somebody said to me over the holiday, so are you going to root for him now? And I go, I'll root for the Lakers, but I won't root for Ron Artest. Yeah. I can't do that. He's the worst. So that's it. Psycho Mike, how are you?
I think that helps the Lakers out, though. I really do.
I think it will, too. But it doesn't mean I have to like them.
The big fault against the Lakers, you know, this is a team that won the championship. But if you had to pick, you know, their weaknesses, it was that they were not tough and they didn't have a guy who you could match up on any player out there on the court. And now they have the ultimate tough guy who could match up with anybody out there on the court.
Right.
They have the enforcer.
But my complaint about him as the enforcer is that he can't really play defense on certain guys. So mm-hmm. he just bodies them up and hips them and elbows them and holds them. And
he's just a thug.
Yeah, he'll fight you.
The thing about Ron Artest is that above and beyond being a quote-unquote enforcer and being a tough guy, he's certifiable.
Yes, that's true.
Really?
I mean that.
Everywhere he goes, he falls apart. His whole life does.
And it's not like a Dennis Rodman thing, like he's trying to be edgy. I mean, I honestly feel for Ron Artest. He has serious problems, and he needs to see a shrink, and he needs to have those taken care of.
Yeah, so at least that's not happening on our watch.
Good times.
Yeah, so that's not good. And, of course, then there's the...
The Summer of Death!
Everyone seems to be dying. So, basically, what we're telling you is by the end of the summer... Your time is up. Really.
Are we okay?
Probably not. I mean, in general, we should all take for granted that that is the way it's going this summer.
You two have built up a certain level of celebrity that you're for sure dead.
What?
You guys are dead.
Well, we're not celebrities enough to make that list.
No. Yeah, you are.
Since when?
There's some D list, some C list. You guys are solid Bs. You're dead.
How are we solid Bs?
You're solid
we're
Bs.
Like, Gs.
I would rank us as, F or G.
Yeah.
And a few people care a great amount, but nobody knows what we look like or anything else.
First off, sister, I'm the only real G here. Secondly, you're dead, and I'm cool.
It's the...
The Summer of Death!
So we got that going on for us.
Is it one of those things where... Because I remember where I was when Princess Diana died. I remember what I was doing that day.
I don't think so, because I don't remember what I was doing.
Do you, Mike?
Yeah,
a week ago.
Yes. It's one of those.
Yes,
and the Michael Jackson thing is going to be the same thing for me. I think.
Yeah,
because I was out of town and someone texted me.
Just like the Princess Di, it's weird that Farrah Fawcett got buried because of Michael Jackson being so huge. Mother Teresa died the same day as Princess Di. And no one even realizes that.
Yeah. Oh, the poor unfortunate souls that die someplace close to a super celebrity.
Right.
They get just passed right over.
Yeah.
Ed McMahon.
Everybody a blip.
Everybody cared for a minute, and then Michael Jackson just took over.
He eclipsed everyone.
You know why?
The Summer of Death.
All right, let's start this morning by taking your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry, you missed first dial is 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
You call, you get on the air, and you get a prize for that. You get a pair of tickets to a free show at Six Flags Magic Mountain with Anne Berlin and Metric.
Oh, cool.
On Saturday, July 18th.
Sounds good.
Just for calling in. And I got to tell you, most of the time, really not worth that.
You don't deserve it.
Those calls are not that good. let's see. Let's go to AJ this morning. Hi, AJ.
What it do? Lisa May. Rawr.
Good morning, AJ.
I'd like to just take 1 second and break and say, does rawr work?
Rawr. It's not bad.
It really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've heard way worse.
All right. What's going on?
Anyway, I heard on KCAL the other day that people are going to be doing the Thriller dance at the MJ Memorial.
Oh.
And I want to know if Psycho Mike and Omar are going to go and ruin it again.
I'm sorry, did you say ruin it or make it better?
Well, they did put their touch on it.
It's one thing to do that when they do that big Thriller thing, out of the blue.
Right.
Just because they're generically excited about it. I don't know that you want to do it at the memorial service, but I hope so.
But they probably will.
Are you up for it, Mike? That would be cool.
If Omar's in, I'm in.
You guys aren't going to get near that place unless you've got your tickets.
Yeah, the cops are saying that. But but Psycho can get in.
Oh, everyone.
I would like to see that happen.
All right, we're going to put you on hold, and maybe you can. We'll take your phone number, and if Mike and Omar need you as one of our dancers...
I will videotape.
You're the man?
He will videotape it. Okay, good.
I feel like...
I was hoping for dancing, but all right.
I feel like CBS Radio needs press there as much as possible, and I am a member of the media and a member of CBS Radio, and I think I could represent them well with Omar Khan.
Yeah, all of those statements are shaky. Every one of them is completely shaky. All right, let's go to Eddie, who's on line 6. Good morning, Eddie.
What it do, nephew? How's the neighborhood?
Yeah. The neighborhood is good. It's a cowbell. We don't have it yet. All right, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. Just wanted to call about Megan Fox and how hot she looks in Transformers 2. Wanted to know what you guys thought.
Wow. Yeah. She looked better than 1.
Yeah.
And
is that possible? Really?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. My biggest complaint with that, though, is when they get to that point in the movie where Shia LaBeouf's character says, I got you a webcam so that we can have web conferences. We can talk while I'm away. How do you not cut to, okay, take off your bra? You know, that kind of...
I was thinking the same thing.
Right! I was like, oh, yes, this movie is getting great immediately. And then they cut and they went to something else. Like anything else matters at that moment. But other than that, yeah, she was pretty spectacular. So.
Yep.
You got here's the thing about that movie. I didn't think it was as good as the first one.
Yeah.
But you got Megan Fox, and every second she's on the screen is fantastic.
Right.
And you got a lot of explosions.
That's right up your alley.
So really, that's what
you
need right there.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's DeJuan. Hey.
DeJuan.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. Hey, Lisa.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Yeah, how was your 4th of July weekend?
Fantastic. How about yours?
Awesome. On Saturday afternoon, me and Mike just hung out for the 4th of July weekend.
You and Psycho Mike?
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that was the plan.
Really?
He came to your house?
No, he take me over his house.
Oh, he picked you up and took you to his house.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it was a proper date then.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And I still really feel bad about Michael pass away.
About Michael Jackson? Yeah.
Sure.
I'm sure you do. Did you guys discuss that a lot on the 4th at Mike's house?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But Michael Jackson still lives as a legend.
That's correct, Dewan. Now, are you one of the 17,000 people that are trying desperately to get in to the memorial service tomorrow?
I'm not going because I have to work.
Work. Work is more important than that, Dewan. That's what you're saying to me.
Yes, it is.
All right, good.
Dewan's big issue, at least it seemed on Saturday at the 4th of July party, is our governor,
yes.
Schwarzenegger. He's not a big fan. Dewan does not like our governor one bit.
Okay.
And it's and he's counting the days till he can get out of office.
Really?
Yeah.
How's that your 4th of July conversation, Dewan?
It was like we was talking about the governor. He wasn't a good governor because he needed to go back to acting.
Right, but he didn't do that very well either. You know?
No, he needs to be deported.
Okay, deported.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah.
So, has some strong political
opinions. And here's what I like about Dewan is that if you don't like the way he's running the state and you don't like his acting, let's deport him.
Uh-huh.
It's a good idea. I'd like to put Dewan in charge of Homeland Security. I think that would be great.
Cut and dry.
Not interested.
So,
wow, he's turning you down.
Not interested. Okay. All right. You wouldn't want to do that. One last question about Mike. Did you meet any of his friends, or was there some partying going on, or was it just you and he, or him, or however you say
it? There's some party going on.
There's a party going on.
So what were his friends like?
What were his friends like?
They're awesome.
They're awesome. Wow. Okay. I wouldn't have expected.
And we saw the parade in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
There was a 4th of July parade?
There is, yeah, in my hometown.
Yeah, yeah. Pictures.
Hey, Dewan, why do you keep pushing that button?
Ain't pushing no button.
Okay. I'm happy with that. All right, Dewan, it's been way too long since we talked to you. And,
no problem at all.
And we're happy that you called, and we'll talk to you later.
All right.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Bye, Dewan.
Bye now.
Peace out.
Peace out.
Exactly.
That's our man, Dewan. Love him. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show. It is Monday. It's July 6th, and it's
the Summer of Death.
So we got that going on.
Sure.
Speaking of the Transformers, mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw the video at the website, but Dave, the King of Mexico, went down to the Transformers red carpet, and he was amazing.
I saw the video.
Right?
Yeah. I never would have expected that of Dave.
Me either. But
he really came through.
He came through in a major way.
He did.
He interviewed, and this is going to blow your mind, he interviewed Megan Fox.
We can never get her on the phone.
That's
or
correct.
In the studio. Dave scores.
That's correct. He interviewed her.
Yep.
That's insane.
And he still came into work today. That's the part I don't believe.
He's going to get her, isn't he?
I would retire.
Dave's going to get her.
Honestly, after that interview, I thought for sure I'd turn on 60 Minutes and there would be Dave. He would be the new correspondent.
Right.
But no.
Mike Wallace out, David.
And she would be on his arm.
He's faithful to the Kevin and Bean show.
God
yeah, he
him.
Could. After that interview, he could move on. I mean, all the stuff that he got her to open up about. I been doing this for a while. I don't know how I would have done better.
Impressive.
So we got that coming up. We got Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
A lot of stuff to catch up on.
Perhaps a thing or two. Including
the Summer of Death.
I was in the World Series of Poker over my holiday.
Wow, I can't wait to hear about that.
And, dominated.
Really?
Well, not really. No. But I got a funny story that you guys will recognize as the type of thing that I do all the time. And it was brutal.
Oh, boy.
Good. Brutal.
Okay.
We're going to play Would You Like to Take That Back on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to fire up the hotline to heaven. Because it seems like there are a lot of new residents. You know what I mean? Since the last time we were on, there's a whole new settlement up there. So we're going to check in with the Hotline to Heaven and find out just what's going on. And don't forget,
the Summer of Death.
Ralph Showbiz is Ralph Garman is here.
I am.
How was your break, Ralph?
It was spectacular.
Fantastic.
Sometimes you just need some time just to lay down.
I hear you.
I did that a lot. Yes. Did a lot of laying down.
Time to lay down and time to lay down and not interact with certain other people for a while.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It just cleanses your palate. It's like a delicious raspberry ice. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Sure.
It's that intermezzo, that little palate cleanser they give you in between courses in fancy restaurants. And then you go back and say, wow, that was great spaghetti after that. So this is the spaghetti.
This is great spaghetti?
After the raspberry, yes.
All right, fantastic.
That was the most convoluted metaphor I've ever used. But I feel like I'm back, and I'm back on track.
So we've been out for 2 weeks. Anything go on in the world of showbiz?
Let me announce it right here and right
Everything
now.
Just came to a halt.
Let me tell you people, I think that you probably, like myself, have had an ass full of this Michael Jackson coverage. News.
Where's Bubbles?
What Michael Jackson coverage?
I don't know if you heard or not, Kevin, but apparently he died. Was this in the news? Yeah, it turns out it was all of the news all of the time.
And then when there was nothing new, they found something
Mother
to talk
effers.
About.
Mother effers with this Michael Jackson dying.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. The death of someone, when someone dies, just dies... That is the story of all news stories that needs the least in-depth coverage. Because once you tell me he's dead, you've told me the news.
Well, how it happened is
which
it,
we'll
sir?
Know weeks from now.
Yeah, which we
when
do,
we get right. the toxicology reports weeks from now, we'll know how it happened. In between he's dead and here's how he died, you got nothing.
You got speculation in that
You got nothing, CNN.
Filler.
I don't need you to sit down with an in-depth with Corey Feldman. Who hasn't talked to him in 9 years. I don't need you to pick his brain.
It was amazing the people they interviewed.
It was freaking sickening.
I think we need to come up with our top 10 favorite moments of the media coverage of the Michael Jackson thing, because they did start going live and haven't stopped yet.
And there's not other other stuff's going on too in the world.
Yeah, other people are dying.
Like he was still getting the crap kicked out of him in Iran on the streets for voting. You know, there's stories that are developing that could use some coverage here. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
I get it. He's dead. Yes, he was a hell of a singer and a dancer. What do you got next? So the showbiz beat will be rolling Michael Jackson free.
Okay. How do you roll Michael Jackson free for
the
a showbiz?
Foreseeable future? Because there's nothing. We got nothing.
Can we have nothing. Can we have a code word?
No. Oh. We got nothing. We're not going to talk about him. We're not going to deal with him. If something happens when they say, oh, you know what? He died from an overdose of Demerol and F it all. Then we'll say, okay, then there's some news to report. But until then, we're rolling Michael Jackson free.
All right.
That's how
you make that pledge?
I make that pledge.
And you can stick one of something big breaks.
Yeah. Well, if there's news, actual news, then I guess we'll have to talk about it. When they know what I think, barring knowing what killed him, I really got nothing to say.
Yeah,
I think it's all been said, and I think my ass is jam packed.
Oh, well, that's what she said.
Full
first of all,
of Michael Jackson news.
Yeah,
and I got no more room.
I hear you.
I'm all full up. That's what I'm saying. So we're going to talk about other things.
All right,
we're going to talk about the fact that I can't get my camera. Well, you know, it's been a couple weeks, so we're going to take a while to get back up to speed, I'm sure.
That was operator error, but most of the time what we do when we come back in is we have to literally build the studio from the ground up again.
Well, it's happening today, that's for sure.
I don't know why, what happens when we're gone, but...
I don't know if you noticed, but we're missing one of the guys whose name is in the show.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Remember that guy Bean, the tall guy?
Yeah.
He's not even on the show right now.
Yeah, oh, he got fired. You know he got fired.
Oh, don't you tease me. Don't you do that after I've had a long vacation. Coming back all giddy, you're going to bring me down like that. All right, let's talk about...
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey!
Oh, look, there he is.
Look who it is. It's that guy.
I had 30 minutes extra vacation time. Did you guys?
Oh, I see. So you had to burn that off so it wouldn't roll over in the next
30
year?
Extra minutes. So I had to wait till just around 6 o'clock in order to come back on. I didn't have to start at 5:30.
I got you.
Well, great news. We were afraid you got fired.
Well, hey, the tail Penguin. End of the conversation. Did something happen with Michael Jackson?
How
because
dare
I,
you?
I was away
was
from
this
the news.
In the news? All right, let's talk to Corey Feldman. No, Larry King. Let's not talk to Corey Feldman. Corey, how do you feel? I'm shattered. When did you talk to him last? 9 years ago. F you!
Yeah. Yeah. In normal stories, they would say, do you have anything to say about it? Were you there recently or whatever? And then he would say no, and then they would go, okay, let's get somebody else. We're not going to go with him.
They brought him into the studio to tell us he hasn't talked to people in 9 years. And you know what the other sick part of it was? The people who were desperately trying to make it about them as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was the people who was jamming the Hollywood Walk of Fame star... Just to be down there so when the coverage came, they could talk about Michael Jackson. And even the people who were going on the TV shows, like Corey Feldman. And I tell you, you couldn't turn on TV without finding Smokey Robinson. It's like, Smokey, why don't you just do a tour or something? Why, if you need the attention so much, get out there and make some music, for Christ's sake. Bastard.
Yeah. That's why I stay away from the news.
You made a smart choice, but I don't know how you avoided it, because every channel, all the time, that's all they were doing.
Just TiVo, just record shows, fast forward.
I'm a bit of a comic book nerd,
yeah.
And I was down at my comic book store buying my new comic book. Golden Apple Comics is like it's the biggest comic book store in L.A. It's the most famous one. So I was down there talking to the guy who runs the joint, owns the place, and he said, oh, I just got off the phone with CNN. I was like, what? He goes, Michael Jackson used to buy comic books here once in a while. They wanted to come down and shoot a story.
Are you kidding?
Now they're down to, warm up the microwave truck. We got to send it down to the comic book store where Michael Jackson used to shop once in a while to get their take on the story.
That's an important angle, Ralph. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss anything.
It's good to be rested after vacation because I'm angry in a whole new way.
Yes.
Yes.
Excellent.
Let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? You don't see this very often, but it is too close to call who's number one at the box office.
Really? A tie for number one? How about that?
Tie for number one, Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen, and Ice Age, Dawn of the Dinosaurs. By the way, titles are getting entirely too long for movies,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Sure.
Transformers 2 would have been easy. Ice Age 7, whatever they're up to now, would be good, too. $42.5 million around that is what each of them made, so they tied for number one this weekend. Then Public Enemies, in its debut, the new Johnny Depp gangster movie, was number three.
Is Flava Flav in that? I haven't heard very much about that.
Oh, Gilligan. No, it's about old-timey gangsters.
Oh, old-timey.
Old-timey. The Proposal was four. The Hangover was fifth. Up, number six, My Sister's Keeper, The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3. And then a tie at 10th between Year One and Night at the Museum, Battle for the Smithsonian. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Ryan Seacrest has a new girlfriend.
Yeah.
Jasmine Waltz.
Is she
a guy? We don't know. We don't know. In Touch magazine did an interview with her, naturally, because she might have heard a Michael Jackson song or something at some point.
Sure.
And she says she also dated Madonna's ex Guy Ritchie.
Wow.
And she says, you come to realize when you date a star that your needs come second to theirs in their career.
And she likes that?
I just want to know which star she's dated, because so far all she's dated is Guy Ritchie and Ryan Seacrest.
Good point.
I'd like to know if she's dated a star. That would be interesting to me. Interesting list from Forbes magazine of the top 10 highest paid actors and actresses in Hollywood.
All right. These are always fascinating.
We don't have a lot of time here, so I'll just get you with the highlights. But in terms of actresses, at number 10, Renee Zellweger is making $10 million a picture.
Wow.
Why?
Good question.
Does anyone go see a movie because Renee Zellweger is in it?
But dude, she was a city girl from Miami, and she went to where it was really cold, and she didn't know how to dress for it.
I did forget about that.
That's a good movie concept.
And on top of that,
of course, you've got to headbutt you right now.
And of course, on top of that, she also has the I just smelled the fart face.
That's worth 10 mil, right?
Really great.
Cut to the middle of the pack. Cameron Diaz is making 20 mil a pick.
Okay, now that is a really good question. Huh? Why?
And at the very top of the actress list, Angelina Jolie, $27 million. I thought.
Whoa! What?
What?
Angelina Jolie with the gong.
Just did that for Dave.
Oh, okay.
I can't think.
Are you doing a show for Dave
up,
now?
No, but anytime her name comes up, I'm fascinated by the fact that he finds her ugly.
When it comes to actors, and this shows you the inequity in Hollywood, Johnny Depp is at the 10th spot on the top earning actors list with $27 million.
Right.
Where do you find a better actor who, by the way, means more to his movies than Johnny Depp? Shouldn't he be getting a lot of money?
That's true.
Absolutely. Tom Hanks, as you can imagine, is making, he's in the middle of the pack, making about $35 million a film. Nicolas Cage and Eddie Murphy are tied at fourth for $40 million a movie.
Oh, something is very
million.
Wrong with this list.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the number one biggest box office moneymaker, top earning actors, Harrison Ford, $65 million.
I'm sorry?
What?
$65 million. That's what he banked for Indiana Jones.
He's not one of the guys that died in the summer of death?
No, he's still around.
The Summer of Death!
He made $65 million for Indiana Jones.
Wow.
He must have had some participation deal, as they say, regarding the profits of that film, but still not too shabby for a guy who's 11-y and doesn't really speak anymore.
He should have had some participation in the, wow, was that a horrible ending to that movie.
He should have raised his hand on the set and said, George, I really don't think.
mind. Maybe he did. Maybe he said something and Lucas just couldn't hear him.
I can't make out.
He also doesn't act. He just walks in front of the camera.
Well, nice work if you can get it.
He's well paid for that.
Let's talk about the celebrity birthdays today, shall we? The Dalai Lama celebrates his 74th birthday.
He's going to go off.
So, hello, Dolly.
Oh, man.
Put that in the file. It's good to be rested.
Put it in the file.
All right. Former President George W. Bush is 63 years old today. Freshie. Sylvester Stallone, same age as George Bush, by the way. 63. Hmm. Put those two guys in a room. Tell me, who do you think is 63?
Put them in a ring. That's what I want to see.
Rocky 6, 7, 8. Jeffrey Rush, very talented actor, is 58 years old today. Now, Brian, we had him on the show. How do we decide we say his name? We said his name the whole time he was here wrong.
It's Posehn.
Posehn.
Posehn, I think, yeah.
Brian Posehn celebrates his 43rd birthday. 50 Cent is 33. The Maori sisters, Tia and Tamara from Sister Sister, are 31. And actor Burt Ward, that's right. Burt Ward, ladies and gentlemen.
Who's that?
He is TV's Robin from the TV series Batman. Burt Ward celebrates his 64th birthday. Can you still call him the Boy Wonder at 64?
Robin is 64.
Maybe not.
Can you imagine?
Once you get your AARP card, you probably have to stop calling yourself the Boy Wonder.
Tell that to the Beach Boys who are still going out there.
That's true. That I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, did we tell the kids about the Killers coming to the Hollywood Bowl on September 16th?
Not one time.
Mexican Independence Day. All week long, you can score your tickets to win the show, plus qualify to present the show like we do. Box seats for you and three friends. You get your name on every ticket sold. You get a dressing room backstage. You can get all the details for that at kevinandbean.com. I heard Lisa talking earlier about whether the death of Michael Jackson that happened while we were on vacation was going to be one of those things that you'd always remember where you were. And I thought it was fascinating, Kevin, that you didn't remember where you were when you heard the news.
I don't care that much.
But it was so shocking so unexpected.
Yes, all of that is true. Okay, but
and he's really, really famous, and we talk about him all the time.
Correct.
But what does a person have to do?
You remember where you were when the OJ slow speed chase happened, for instance? I've heard you reference that before.
Yeah, yeah.
But why would you remember that one?
I like car chases.
I don't. I mean, it was shocking.
You remember where you were when Tyson bit Holyfield's ear?
Yeah, I do. That was awesome.
How funny.
See, that's why I'm just so surprised that this one doesn't make that cut. That's all.
I don't know. I don't know. I can't answer that. I don't remember what I was doing. I'm sure it was something very important.
I'm sure that's what it was.
Yeah.
Well, eventually the coverage is going to go away.
Nope.
But we've got at least two more days of nonstop Michael Jackson coverage on the news, and not just in Southern California where the funeral is happening, but on the networks, as Ralph was saying. If you turn on CNN, you're getting about 22 and a half hours of Michael Jackson a day right now, and they're just going wall to wall.
And why is that?
The Summer of Death.
So the funeral plans have been speculated upon, and they've been up in the air, and they've changed, and they've been here, and they've been there, and they haven't been. And apparently they have settled on a private funeral that is going to be at an unnamed funeral graveyard that people have already figured out where it is and are camping out in front of. And then there's going to be the public memorial, which is going to be at Staples Center in downtown L.A. So they held a lottery. 1.6 million people tried to get tickets. Thousand tickets.
All of us on the list, by the way.
Oh, really? Yeah. You guys try to get tickets?
We're all signed up and zeroed.
Well, one person that we do know who did get the congratulations, you get to come to the event email, is our brother from another mother. Ladies and gentlemen, K-Rock's Kevin and Bean's token black listener, Anell Rivers, joins us on the phone right now.
Thank you.
Hey,
Anell. Thank you very much. How
look
you guys
at
you.
Doing?
How do you work your way in there?
I feel like Michael himself reached out from heaven and chose me to be there to say goodbye to him.
Literally, a million and a half people sign up. Only 17,000 get it.
And not even all of those are in Staples Center. Some of those are in the spillover in Nokia, right, Donnell?
Yeah, that's correct.
And which one are you?
I find out today. I'm actually on my way down to Doyota Stadium to find out. You got to go down there to pick up your tickets if you won. And I don't know if I should have said that, but
that's true. And they're checking IDs and all that and wristbands. Yeah, I mean, they're doing the best they can. But as I understand it, you can sell that second ticket. You get two tickets. You have to use one because you're the guy who registered on the website. But you can sell the second one if you want to, Anell.
Yeah, you know, I've been hearing they say the going price on eBay is about $8,000 for one of these things.
Yeah, no, this is probably the best
kidding?
Scalper market ever.
Yeah, it is. I'm curious to see how this is going to go down. I mean, if it's got, you know, my name on it and I can't, you know, get rid of it, then hey, you know, I'll probably take my wife.
That's going to be true for one ticket. But what about the second one? Are you going to sell that one?
Oh, that'll be on eBay so fast.
Yeah, I would too. Now let me ask you this. I also signed up for the I Want to Be a Speaker lottery. And I haven't heard back from them on that either.
You're coming on after Al Sharpton?
I would like to.
Now, I'm being serious when I say this. We were all fans of Michael Jackson's music. I mean, regardless of whatever else happened in the man's life, nobody can deny that he's one of the greatest entertainers of all time. And for that reason, we do feel bad for his passing. But why would you want to be at that ceremony?
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you guys, man. I am the Black Forrest Gump. Okay,
you're everywhere where things happen.
I'm trying to be everywhere that things happen. All right. You know, because when I look back at my life, I want to be able to look at my grandchildren and say that Grandpa wasn't always a burned out druggie.
Okay, Grandpa used to do stuff.
There was a time when Grandpa used to do stuff.
Right, but you're going to prove that by saying you went to a funeral?
Well, I mean, I've got all types of cool stuff, man. Like you said, I was there for the OJ situation,
right?
You know, and I remember when Mike touched the first kid and the second kid, and
allegedly,
allegedly.
But I mean, what are you expecting to see? I mean, the thing's going to be televised. It's going to be free on the internet all over the world. What are you expecting to see there in person?
You know, I'm a fan of crazy. I'm a fan of the bad.
Me too.
I expect to see tons of that. But more importantly, man, I want to feel the energy in the place, man. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I got to be honest. I've always kind of run hot and cold with Mike, you know, over the years.
Right.
You know, he does something good. He does something crazy. But, you know, the one thing that you can't deny is, I mean, the kid in me, you know, I would be lying to you if I told you I did not have the red and black leather beaded jacket. You know, I would be lying to you if I told you I didn't have the little Michael Jackson doll.
Excellent.
And I had the glove. You know, I'm a child. You know, I was born, you know, in the mid-70s.
Sure.
So, you know, Mike is, you know.
That was big stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that's like the sound, you know, the soundtrack of my childhood.
I think we need to get Anel a little portable recorder and have him interview people down there.
Be a great idea.
I wonder if they'll let you do that. That would be awesome if you could. You're going to see a lot of people just crying their eyes out, right? Just in agony.
You know,
I imagine.
I want to see it all. I want to see the people that are crying their eyes out. I want to see the Michael Jackson impersonators because I know they're going to be there.
Oh,
I love those. Those are the best.
Hey, you have the jacket. Why aren't you one?
It's a little on the snug side.
All right.
I may try to get into it, though.
Yeah, 200 pounds ago, I think Adele could have worn that jacket. But here's what's weird is I guess the thing is at Staples Center, and just like with the Lakers championship celebration, they're already blocking off all the streets. I mean, it's not like you can just show up and go down there and see it. They're making it very, very difficult. It's going to be you got to have a ticket to get anywhere near that place tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I got a couple buddies actually in LAPD, and one of them told me that, you know, if you don't have a ticket, don't even try to get down there because they're going to just be turning people away left and right.
Well, that's why you're our guy. You're going to... Hopefully you can call us, you know, throughout the morning tomorrow as you're heading down there and you get down there and stuff like that, because we don't have anyone down there.
Oh, yeah, man. Jackson Watch, 2009, man.
All right.
Well, Anel, you are blessed. You are charmed. You are a lucky guy. I mean, you just must – when that email came back to you that said, congratulations, you got tickets, I mean, you knew how long the odds were against that. You must have just been going crazy.
Yeah, at first I thought someone was just effing with me, man. I really did. And, you know, I was like, okay, I got in. And I thought, honestly, I thought it was one of you guys.
Nah.
You guys got lightning to send me some wild
wish.
Email. And, you know, and
I wish. That would have been a great prank.
Yeah, and then my wife got the rejection email, and then everybody else started getting, and I felt like, you know, I got a golden ticket.
Yeah.
Totally.
If I give you $100, will you, during the funeral, shout out, do Billie Jean? Will you do that?
I tell you what, you don't even have to pay me.
All right.
For that one. Okay, I can almost guarantee you.
I expect to hear it on the coverage.
I may just be caught up with the Holy Ghost and have one of those sporadic church outbreaks. I can't call it, man. Anyway, it could go anyway.
All right.
Well, listen, now call us later after you have ticket in hand and give us any more information that you found out about how it's all going to work tomorrow, okay?
Yes, sir. Will do.
All right.
All right, dude. We'll talk to you later. Thanks, Anel.
All righty. Talk to you later.
Bye. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Let me tell you the three words you never want to hear. Well, first of all, there's Summer of Death.
Yes, there is.
The Summer of Death.
Sorry, I thought that might be more readily accessible.
Yeah.
Second of all, catastrophic testicle injury.
Yeah.
That's a bad deal right there. Even Lisa can feel that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've had a lot of conversation about which athletes are tougher,
mm-hmm.
and hockey was one of the sports. There's a dude named Nicholas Lidstrom who's on the Red Wings, and the story came out that he was, during the finals, got stabbed in the groin with a hockey stick. Yeah.
Wow.
And he's never missed...
Stabbed with a hockey stick?
With the hockey stick, yeah. Right there.
Wow. Okay.
Lisa May. Gene Simmons.
Hi, Gene.
I'd like to stab you in the groin with some kind of stick.
All right. Thank you. Apparently, the injury occurred when the Blackhawks forward Patrick Sharp speared him in the groin during the Chicago 4-3 overtime win on May 22nd. So
Originally, he thought, okay, this is all right. I mean, I think, because they wear cups and everything else. I think this is going to be okay. I'm going to be all right. And then the next day, he was like, ouch.
Did they like swell up to gargantuan proportions?
Pretty much, size of my head. And then he had to go right into surgery.
What do they do?
I don't know.
Does he still have it?
Amputate.
Did they?
That's a great question.
Lisa. If you've been hit bad down there, what do they do? How? I mean, is it just swelling that they're trying to alleviate or something?
It's really
Is it a drain deal? What are they? I don't know.
I don't know. Those balls are sensational.
And whatever your recovery would be like, can you imagine?
Oh.
Oh, my God.
One testicle. What an atom.
Balls. So he missed two games. I don't remember the finals, if there was a sixth game or a seventh game or whatever, but yeah there was, wasn't there? There was a seventh game. So he came back and played.
Okay, then he wins, right?
Right?
He wins.
Toughest athlete ever.
Because they don't have many days between games.
They call it a nearly catastrophic testicle injury.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but it means bad things, I can tell you that.
Kevin, from a guy's point of view, isn't any testicle injury catastrophic?
I mean, that's what it seems like, yes.
That means that he didn't lose it, but he almost did. That's what I think that means.
I think it means...
One testicle! What an atom!
I hear what you're saying, Mike, because it's such a sensitive area and there's no protection down there at all. I mean, thank God he was wearing a cup. I mean, if you get caught in your zipper, that hurts so much more than getting any other skin caught in your zipper. We all know that.
Sure. Yeah.
But getting speared, essentially, is what happened to this dude. I can't even imagine. I mean, it's the type of thing you have to have a far less serious hit than that to feel like you're going to black out. I mean, that's how crucial that area at your body is.
I was pitching in high school and got a line drive.
Mm-hmm.
And you immediately start sweating and you have to throw up and you can't move. And the pain, it really does feel like somebody puts a sword right through your groin.
Oh, dear God.
That's what it feels like. It's unbelievable. And I had the world's greatest high school baseball coach. This is me playing baseball, by the way.
Yeah.
And he came out and he goes, you know everybody's watching you, right? And I could not have cared less.
He's like, man up?
Yeah, he was. He was. He was just being funny.
Did you tell everybody on your team how much baseball sucked when you were playing baseball?
No, I think they knew it by my performance.
I see.
Okay. I was not a good baseball player. But that kind of injury is, it's bad. That's not good.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting.
So we're going to take your calls. We do this every once in a while when one of these stories comes through. And I got to tell you, honestly, we could take calls from now until Friday.
Mm-hmm. There's not a guy on earth that hasn't had this happen, right?
So we're looking for nearly catastrophic testicle injuries. That's what we're looking for.
Was it on the Steve-O MTV special where he got naked and had Johnny Knoxville hit him as hard as he could with his foot?
Yeah.
When I saw that, I mean, I hurt for 24 hours after seeing it on television.
Yeah, that's one of those things like twisting or breaking or spraining your ankle that mm-hmm. you can still feel the pain to this day when you see it on someone else. Yeah, it's weird. So 1-800-520-1067. Nearly catastrophic testicle injuries.
Nearly.
Balls.
Call us now and we'll talk to you next. I want to be kicked in the balls.
Okay, we can take care of that. Talking about catastrophic testicle injuries. It happened during the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs to a player who missed only two games, by the way, after being speared in the balls. That is tough, what that is.
Yeah, I think he played the game and got speared. Then he missed the second game, which was 2 days later. Yeah. Had surgery on that night. And then there was another game, I think 2 or 3 days later, he missed a second game, and then in a couple days after that, right back in.
He's the man.
Yeah,
he is the man.
Wow.
So we're taking your telephone calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for your catastrophic testicle injuries. Please understand we're going to laugh. And let's start on line 3 and talk to, Eric. Hey, Eric. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Kevin, Bean, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What did you do to yourself?
I sliced open down there and almost lost one.
Wow.
It was pretty bad.
How'd you slice it open?
I was about 12 or 13 riding my mountain bike. I had a mountain bike lock on the front, like right next to the handlebars.
Right.
And I hit a curb, flew up, smashed my groin on the handlebars. The bike lock had hooks on it, went up my shorts, sliced open my leg right next to the sack right there.
By the way, bicycle testicle injury is pretty common, right? I mean, that's one. That's one easy way to get hurt, I guess.
Yeah, it bled a lot, and the doctor said if it was a millimeter or two to the left, it could have been way worse for my reproductive future.
Wow, that's not good. Remember Johnny Knoxville tried that on the motorcycle in Rob Dyrdek's Fantasy Factory?
Right. That's right.
Got stabbed.
Good times, Eric. Thanks for the call.
I like the balls in L.A.
I know you do. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we try Marcos on line 5 this morning on the Kevin Amin Show? Hey, Marcos, what happened to you?
Hey, guys. I was coming up from a camping trip in San Diego, stopped the gas up, and I don't know if you guys know when you go to the gas pumps, the concrete pillars that stop you from hitting the pumps.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a drive-by shooting. A guy lost control of his car. He was shot, slammed into my car, and I'm trying to run out of the way. And in the process, he hit my car, and my car pinned me between my car and those concrete pillars.
Oh.
And there literally was maybe 2 inches a gap in my ass was pinned between there, and my boys got crushed.
Oh.
Wait a minute. I want to make sure I heard you correctly, Marcos. You were standing there minding your own business, pumping gas, and another car in the parking lot of the gas station had the driver get shot, and then he ran his car into you?
At an intersection, at the intersection of the gas station.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So my ass literally left ass prints on the car.
So how long were you stuck like that?
I was able to wipe myself out right away, but man, it was...
He's still there. He's on the phone calling from the gas station.
Yeah, I'm clear.
Wow.
So how much damage to the boys?
No real damage, but the worst part of that is they had to check to make sure there wasn't any internal bleeding, so I had to have a catheter, and that's the most painful experience.
Man. That's a whole nother conversation.
That was the most painful experience. I wish that a no man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for the call.
This is,
this is making me nauseous just by
sweating?
Listening to these stories.
I'm surprised Mike isn't throwing up yet. You know how he is about stuff like this.
Yeah.
I'm not. It's like the ball injury I'm cool with. It's abnormalities, like birth defects and stuff like
the
tails and three arms. That makes me sick. I don't know why.
Ball hurting, fine with him. James, hi.
Hey, Mike, you're gross. Anyways, I was a kid. I was maybe 7 years old, and seven-year-old, you know, we're curious, and we're trying to get to the top of the cabinets, and so I open up the bottom cabinet and climb up, and I'm on the counter and looking for whatever I need to be looking for up there, and I couldn't find it, so I jumped off the counter, and I split my balls on the counter door.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I ended up screaming, I cracked my nuts! I cracked my nuts! My mom comes running in there. Next thing you know, we're at the hospital, and they're trying to, of course, ice my nuts. And that wasn't any fun anyways.
Wow.
But, jumped off the counter, man, and cracked my nuts.
And then you go, to the emergency room, and you know how they got that plexiglass, and they can't hear you, and they go, what happened? You go, I hurt my nuts! What? Everybody else in the room's looking at you.
Does it help a little if you're that young that you're not as – I don't think you're as embarrassed about a testicle injury as you would be if you were an adult, right?
Not at all. You're more like, save me.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I got to tell you, as someone who's had that injury, you could care less about embarrassment. It's so overwhelming that you don't even have space in your psyche for embarrassment.
Yeah.
Right. Great call, James. Thank you. 1-800-520-1067. Kevin, you're right. We could go till Friday with these calls.
Yes.
The phones are ringing off. Let's try Aaron. He's on line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Aaron. Welcome to the show. What's up?
Hi, guys. I was playing in a high school alumni soccer game 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was hit with the soccer ball from close range in the scrotum, and I lost my left testicle.
One testicle! What an asshole!
Yeah, I tried to play through it. Didn't work out too well. It swelled up instantly. The next day, I went into the doctor, and they took me right into surgery, and I now have a nudicle, a fake testicle.
You put a
fake testicle
in.
Yep. I thought they only did those for dogs. I didn't know they put them in for people.
Nope, I have a urethane one.
I bet you can't get a boner.
I don't think it works like that, Kevin.
Oh, okay.
So you can still have kids and stuff, though, because the other one's working fine, right?
Yeah, I'm still good that way, but I have to be careful with the good one now.
With the one you have?
Yeah. Sure.
Wow.
Dude,
all right.
I think Aaron wins so far because he actually lost one. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's true. All right.
I would not want to be his nutsack.
Oh, you're right.
All right, let's go to Ryan. I don't know. There's something especially sweet about a self-inflicted injury.
Oh.
You know, the last guy was playing a soccer game. Somebody else kicked the ball at him. This guy, Ryan, what did you do?
Well, I am a compulsive shaver, so I shave most of my body every single day.
Okay.
I started using a straight razor, kind of the old school cowboy.
No.
You know, because you get a closer shave. It's a nice, great shave.
How close do you need it to be if you're shaving today and tomorrow?
Well, like I said, compulsive.
All right.
Anyway, so I'm, I kind of adapted it for use down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm shaving my boys, and I ended up slicing open kind of the patch of skin behind the testicle, in between the perineum and the testicle.
Oh.
And that's a bleeder right there, right?
Okay, and I'm in the shower, so we got the warm water, which is also causing me to bleed rather profusely.
Oh.
So I end up driving myself to the emergency room, bleeding everywhere.
Wow.
And I end up getting 7 stitches.
Seven stitches.
So here's the thing also. So you've got stitches, you know, and it's not comfortable for
yeah.
a very, very long period
I'm sure.
of time.
Right.
Was it one of my favorite band names, Taint Demolition? Is that what happened?
Taint Demolition, I think, is playing the Acoustic Christmas, right?
Yes, they are. Nicely done.
Ryan, did you continue to be the compulsive shaver, or did that break the habit?
I still am, but I don't use a straight razor anymore, I'll tell you that much.
No kidding. Very interesting. All right. I believe we need to end there because I want to have some breakfast at some point today.
I've had enough.
Is that Ralph Garman I smell? What's going on, Ralph?
That is.
See what he did there?
Because you thought
like,
I would say see.
Right, but apparently I'm smelly.
I can't see you, Axel. I just can't see you right now.
Oh,
I'm in trouble.
Then you smell him. Yes, that is correct.
Welcome back, man. How was vacation?
It was outstanding.
Good.
I went to a little resort down at the beach, down in Laguna, for a couple days. Got some rest and relaxation down there, which is always
awesome.
Lovely. Did a couple days in Vegas.
Me too.
I got exhausted. I got nice and rested up the first week of vacation. And then I went to Vegas the second week and got exhausted all over again. I probably should have done it vice versa. In retrospect.
Yeah.
But I was there in Vegas and I was looking at the World Series of Poker and I was scanning the tables. I said, Kevin's got to be here somewhere. And yet I couldn't see. He must have been one of the back tables or something. I didn't see
Kevin wears a disguise when he plays.
Oh, I didn't know
they
that.
They move you around quite a lot in that. It's really bizarre. They'll say, okay, you pick up all your chips and walk over to this table. And it's like a mile away. Yeah, it's really bizarre.
Do you wear those glasses with the reptile eyes so no one can see what you're looking
at? I was wearing
the
sunglasses.
Were you?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I noticed that. Seriously, I was in Vegas and I did see the World Series there. Just yards and yards of tables playing poker.
It's massive.
It's crazy. Yeah. And a lot of people, they're wearing the sunglasses, so you can't see their eyes and their tells, I suppose. But a lot of players, and this struck me as just damn rude, wearing earbuds.
Oh, no, you have to.
Listening to music or whatever, listening to your iPhone or your iPod.
You have
or
to listen to music because you're there in one day for 12 hours.
Oh, my God.
That's a lot of poker.
I can't read a newspaper and watch television at the same time. How are you listening to music, something in your ears, and still keeping your mind on the game?
I would have gone crazy if I didn't have my iPod. That was great having that.
That just seems rude to the other members of the table. Don't you chat and have conversations?
Well, you're not there to make friends.
Hey, how about that Michael Jackson? Didn't that come up at the table? You guys were talking about that?
No, something happened with him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm making the announcement that I am going Michael Jackson free. I am giving you no Michael Jackson news in the showbiz news.
Okay.
Until further notice.
If I could just question that decision. Just till tomorrow. I mean, tomorrow is going to be the biggest day of coverage because of the funeral.
Do you know the funeral's coming tomorrow?
Yes.
Then there you go. You've got all the information you need regarding that.
Good
There's
point.
Going to be a big funeral at Staples Center tomorrow. Everyone knows it. You can't turn on a television or radio without getting beaten to death Michael Jackson news. I am going to be the lone voice of reason. I'm going to be the island that you can swim to when you're awash in a sea of crappy news coverage about Michael Jackson.
Okay, good.
I'm going... Michael Jackson free.
All right.
Black notice. People are dissatisfied.
Until we find out what killed him weeks from now when the toxicology reports come back, I will report on
that. Oh, you want actual news about it.
When something actually happens,
okay.
I will bring it to you. But until then, F this story. F it.
I don't know how to do that, but okay.
I'm just really super excited because I won the lottery and I got tickets for the Carl Malton Memorial. So I'm just really pleased about that.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. That we're having it at the we're having it at Dupar's over by the farmer's market.
And they're not even using the whole restaurant.
No, it's a booth.
It's one booth.
It's me, Michael Douglas, I think Kirk's coming.
Those of you that don't recognize the name, that was he's a what, 1970s big actor?
Yeah, he had a big series called The Streets of San Francisco in the 70s. Huge, huge series. But he was also an Oscar-winning actor. Won an Oscar for On the Waterfront with Marlon Brando. And
all I know about him is monstrous nose. Yep.
Big, big, bulbous that's nose. That's pretty much what he was known
and
for.
And all the American Express commercials that he did for 30 years.
But a very, very talented actor.
Yeah.
Remember Don't Leave Home Without It, Kevin? That was Carl Malden.
Don't Leave Home Without It.
Yeah, I don't care.
He was 97 years old when he passed away.
No one pays any attention to anyone from the second Michael died for probably another week and a half.
The only time I heard it mentioned was someone asked if Carl Malden knew Michael Jackson. That's the only time they talked about him. So, there you go. Before I get to the showbiz news, I have very little time here, but I do want to give away some tickets to the special K-Rock advanced screening of a little movie called Bruno.
Oh, I can't
wait. How great is this movie going to be?
I can't wait.
My head's exploding. I was like to watch the trailers. I'm laughing. I'm wetting myself laughing.
I was listening to an interview with Johnny Depp, and they were talking about his new movie, Public Enemies.
Yeah.
And they said, are you looking forward to any movie that's coming out? And he said, only Bruno. Just that one.
Sacha Baron Cohen is the bravest, smartest, funniest guy on the planet.
He is.
He is a one-of-a-kind. A one-of-a-kind performer. Wonder if you ever met Michael Jackson. Wish we should talk about that when we get a chance. Anyway, we've got tickets to the special K-Rock advanced screening. I've got five pairs of tickets I'm going to give away to five lucky callers at 1-800-520-1067. If you know where Sacha Baron Cohen went to school.
Ah.
High school, college, what are we talking about?
We'll talk college. We'll talk college. Okay. If you know where he went to college, call now 1-800-520-1067. If you've got the right answer, you're one of the first five, you will get tickets. Speaking of movies, top 10 movies at the box office. We do this every Monday. Tie for number one between the new Ice Age and Transformer movies. They made $42.5 million each.
That's not bad.
Not too bad for either of them. Transformers now, I think, has made a bajillion dollars officially. They just crossed the bajillion dollar line.
I know it's on track to be the number one movie of the year so far, passing up in Star Trek this week.
Yeah.
Well, if you do a bang-up Ray Romano impression, can we hear a little of that?
I'm a mammoth. It's cold.
that's Ice Age. Public Enemies. Is it still the Ice Age, or is the ice melted? This is like the fifth Ice Age movie or something. How long did the freaking Ice Age last?
Well, I think, in its defense, hundreds of millions of years.
Yeah, but now they're like hanging out with dinosaurs. There's all sorts of just sort of creationism going on with this movie series. I don't think they all exist at the same time. They got people walking around. They got babies now, and they're building. They got the wheel, and they got fire, and a dinosaur sitting down with a mammoth.
And
it's all very
pack.
Confusing to me.
Yeah,
yeah. Public Enemies was third.
Yeah, boy.
No, a different Public Enemy. The Proposal, Hangover, Up, My Sister's Keeper, The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3, Year One, and The Night at the Museum. Battle of the Smithsonian, rounding out your top 10 at the movies this weekend. Speaking of movies, you know I love to track the lamest ideas for films that are coming up out of Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
I've talked to you about Monopoly, the movie, Battleship, the movie. They're running out of ideas, basically, is what's happening. Apparently, just announced, Asteroids, the movie.
Asteroids, a video game?
Yeah. It's going to be a very exciting, big budget, big screen adaptation of a triangle shooting at rocks in space. Can't wait for that. T.J. Hooker, the movie, is in the works.
Starring?
They got to get Shat back, right? They
got to
bring William Shatner out of retirement. Not that he's in retirement, but in terms of that role, he's retired from that role. They got to slap that giant raccoon-looking toupee on his head and have him just rolling over the hoods of cars. Get Adrian Zmed. I'm sure he's not doing anything.
Nope. That's guaranteed.
Give Heather Locklear a call. Get the whole team back together. T.J. Hooker, the movie, and my personal favorite. This may be the greatest ever. You know, they're doing a bunch of toys. They got Stretch Armstrong and, like I mentioned, Battleship and Monopoly. Just announced Viewmaster, the movie.
That is the greatest, worst idea ever.
The movie. For those of you who aren't familiar with it, Viewmaster was a toy, I don't know, 20 years ago. It was very popular 25 years ago, 30 years ago. It was a thing you looked into.
It's like a
plastic binoculars.
And you look into it, and it would give you a 3D image of like Scooby-Doo or Snoopy or whatever little reel you popped in there. You could see things in 3D by looking into the Viewmaster.
Yeah, it was a piece of crap.
Yeah, it was. It was the thing you got at the bottom of your stocking at Christmas because your parents couldn't afford or think of anything else.
It's just another item. But
right. Yeah. So Viewmaster, the movie, coming to a theater near you soon. So you got
we have a winner, believe it or not.
I love it. Let's all play something.
And I'm going to go first, then you go.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Let's try Pablo. Excuse me. Let's try
Brad.
Brad. Let's try Brad, please. He's our first caller.
Brad?
Yeah, hey, guys.
Hey, where did Sacha Baron Cohen go to school?
He went to Cambridge.
Cambridge University.
Yep.
Dude's like a freaking genius. He was going to pursue his PhD or get into comedy. Those were his two options.
Wow. Yeah.
He did a thesis on Jewish participation in the U.S. Civil Rights Movement, which is still being quoted to this day.
I hope he makes a movie out of that next.
Yeah, that'd be great. Wow. Anyway, very, very smart guy. Congratulations, Brad. You are going to the special K-Rock advance screening of Bruno.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Mike, Josh, Amanda, and Pablo are the other winners this hour. But, Ralph, you've got tickets all week, right?
I do.
Awesome.
Today's celebrity birthdays. The Dalai Lama is 74 years old today. Let's all say hello, Dolly.
You did it again.
It's never going to get old.
It got old before you said it the first time.
President George W. Bush is 63, as is Sylvester Stallone. Jeffrey Rush, the talented actor, is 58. Brian Posehn is 43. 50 Cent turns 33. The Maori twins, Tia and Tamra, from Sister Sister, are 31. And from TV's Batman, the boy wonder himself, Burt Ward, celebrates his 64th birthday today.
Twink.
Yeah.
Twink.
Twink. Have you seen Burt lately?
No.
He's no twink.
That's the name of my autobiography. Have you seen Burt lately? Yeah.
Robin looks like he ate Alfred. That's Burt's rocking a few extra pounds.
Fat Burt?
Fat Burt. Fat Burters, his new restaurant. I hope you all check it out. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
How about some good news from the Kevin and Bean Show? How about less than 1 hour from right now, a world premiere of a brand new song from a band called Paramore? How about that? How about the new song called Ignorance? We'll have it for you at just after 8 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Who's more excited about that than Dave, the King of Mexico?
Yeah, exactly.
Man, oh man. He's walking
on. Is it King? Isn't he hitting the road? Isn't he following Paramore all over the country this summer with No Doubt?
Pretty much.
Yeah. I'm at Chicago Saturday.
You're going to Chicago Saturday?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, Chicago Saturday.
Now, they San Francisco are playing, in 2 weeks. Yeah.
They are playing where you live too, though, right, Dave?
Yeah, only a couple of times, only like 7 times. So.
And what do you need to go to Chicago for?
To see him in the Midwest.
I think I've come to the conclusion that we pay Dave too much.
Apparently so.
Really, I mean, he's just traveling the world with Paramore. How does he do it?
All right, it's a Monday morning, Harvey Levin next hour with the very latest on what's going on in the Michael Jackson investigation and plans for the funeral tomorrow. Right now, though, how about at 7:14, let's talk about Megan Fox.
Let's all talk.
We were on vacation when the Transformers 2 came out. I don't recall, and please tell me, Lisa, if I'm wrong about this, ever seeing a movie make more money with horrible reviews. Like, no one likes it, right?
Yes, that is
true.
It's
just being savaged as one of the worst movies ever made, like completely incompetent on every single level, yet it made $200 million in the first 5 days.
It wasn't incompetent on the blowing things up scale. They did that really well. But what they did have that bugged me was the twin Jar Jar Binks Autobots.
The racist bots?
Where they were supposed to be funny and talk like all gangs.
Oh, really?
I mean, yeah, it was like they were supposed to be the comic relief and maybe a few times, but it kept going back to it. And that's what made me think, Jar Jar Binks, here we go.
Oh,
Star Wars fans are good, hated him.
Right. I should have figured. I don't know why I didn't even think of this. Of course, Kevin, you went to see it.
Are you kidding?
Did you like it?
Well, no. Yes. All right, look. Megan Fox is hot.
Right.
And she's on the screen a lot.
Okay.
Right.
And they blow up a lot of stuff.
Right. So you got what you wanted out of the movie, Megan Fox and blowing stuff up.
If those two things don't excite you, the movie is horrible. But I love those two things, so I was fine with it.
Okay.
Would you go see the third one? Because they're already now, of course. They're already talking about making the next one.
Yeah, you have to.
You're it, huh?
Yeah, you have to. I mean,
Megan Fox, who apparently, I guess it's, and we are talking about Megan Fox here.
Yeah, I don't have that. Sorry.
Megan Fox is apparently, it is confirmed, is now single. She broke up with Beverly Hills 90210 guy, right?
Right.
Believe so, yes.
So she's all over the world at these premieres and doing television interviews on Dave and whatnot, and David Letterman, that is. And she just could – I mean, it's unbelievable to me that she's hotter now than she was before we left on vacation.
Yep.
It's crazy how beautiful she is in all of these appearances that she's making lately.
Here's my question. I'm sitting there in the movie, and I'm watching Transformers. And this scene happens between Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox. He's going away, and she's going to still be back at home, and they need to somehow keep in touch.
Hello? Michaela.
I can't believe you're going to stand me up on our first web chat date.
I just had a full-blown mental meltdown. I am seeing symbols ever since I...
Since what?
Ever since I touched the cube splitter. Do you have it?
Yeah, I have it. It's in the shop safe. It's fine.
Michaela, do not touch it, okay? Don't touch it.
I'm not going to touch it. Sam, it's fine. It's locked away. No one knows where it is.
I do.
That's it.
You're hot, but you ain't so bright.
Yeah, that's a Decepticon. Little tiny Decepticon.
Okay.
Okay, under what circumstances do you ever have Megan Fox not touch it?
Right. Well, look, there's many questions. The first question is, when he first brings up the webcam, I have a soundtrack in my head, and it sounds like this.
Yeah, okay, of course. So, that's why you get Megan Fox on a webcam. Right. What's he wasting it for?
So he says, I got you a webcam. She says, oh, that sounds cute. And then I'm thinking they're going to cut to their first. Okay. Second of all, he stands her up on her first webcam. I don't care if it's World War III. If you have a webcam date scheduled with Megan Fox, you keep it. You don't blow
Hells
her
yeah.
off.
Of course.
It doesn't even make sense.
What about the other thing that happened with Megan Fox? Because we are, in fact, talking about Megan Fox.
Yeah, I don't have that.
We got to get a new system. What about the other thing that happened of the fat kid who looks so much like Andy Milonakis? I couldn't stop laughing. Who is at a premiere. Dave, where was this one? Where was this picture taken?
Let's all talk about
there we go.
It was in London.
Timing. It was in London.
Yes.
What's the deal? The kid showed up. He was just trying to hand her a rose and she didn't see him or something?
Yeah, apparently this kid takes pictures of the kinds of celebrities and he was trying to hand her a rose and they were rushing her into the theater and she snubbed him.
Oh,
the look on his face, though. He looked like he was going to burst.
Yeah, fat kid.
Fat kid tried to hand her a rose and then I guess Megan Fox, who is after all the most perfect woman ever, she found out after the fact that she's like, if anyone can find that kid, I mean, I'll be happy to, you know, get together with him or sign something for him.
Yeah.
Take his flower.
By the way, Kodak flew him out to New York, and Megan Fox got canceled because to meet him on Letterman, and Megan Fox got canceled because of Michael Jackson, and she flew home, and he missed her again.
Oh, you're kidding!
Yeah, that happened.
Well, kid, get used to it. That's life. That's life
now,
with women.
As we continue on the Kevin and Bean Show to just talk about Megan Fox.
Let's all talk about Megan Fox.
We have to take a break. We don't have time to talk about the biggest news that happened on vacation, but Megan Fox gave an exclusive interview with Dave the King of Mexico while we were
right
gone.
Right on. Dave was on the red carpet and
what's up?
Interviewed Megan Fox.
Yes. Didn't scream at Megan Fox as she ran by, didn't wave to her, actually talked to her, and a kiss was involved in this interview, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what's going on with us going on vacation, but one time we went away and we came back and found out that Dave was nailing a former Miss Double December. Okay, that happened on one vacation.
He gets busy when we're gone.
He sure has.
I guess so.
Yeah, you guys need to leave more.
He brings it.
This vacation, we come back and we find out that Dave is hanging out with, oh, I don't know, his new girlfriend, Megan Fox. What is up with you?
I'm awesome.
I'm not going to argue right now. Yeah. Dave's interview with Megan Fox when we come back on K-Rock. Hey, that ended. It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 26 minutes after 7 o'clock.
King of Mexico joins us in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. He had quite the night out while we were on vacation at the Transformers 2 world premiere at the red carpet with all the stars. Dave, you don't do too many of these. This isn't your typical job, right?
Nope. Luckily, Mike turned it down, so I was lucky enough to go in his place.
Was it crazy?
It was very busy and very packed.
Yeah, a lot of stars.
Lots of stars.
Yeah, and you were there with your flip camera?
My flip camera.
So Dave's,
the high-tech audio that is.
Dave's there by himself with his flip camera. This is the high-tech world we live in.
I'm squeezed in between some news place from Taiwan and France, so it was awesome.
Excellent.
Yeah,
but
I got a good spot.
But the access that you were able to get and the way you got the celebrities to open up, including Megan Fox.
I got all the hard-hitting interviews from the red carpet. It was like the best one ever.
Here's the King of Mexico's intro as he's standing on the red carpet holding his own video camera out at arm's length on himself. This is what it sounded like.
Hey, Sam, the King of Mexico. Here at the Transformers Revenge of the Fallen premiere. I'm going to interview some peeps and hopefully just one of them, Megan Fox. Let's see how this goes.
All right, so that's his goal. So,
yeah, I was optimistic already, you know?
He had his eye on the prize. Now, what's interesting to note about these premieres, by the way, is when they do the red carpet world premieres, they put the major media outlets at the front where the stars are guaranteed to stop. That's where you'll find your Entertainment Tonight's and your CNN's and your Access Hollywood's.
And then the smaller the outlet is, the further back the line you go. Now, where you are, Dave, representing the Kevin and Bean Show,
yeah.
you're practically in the parking lot. Right? Like, there's no chance anyone's ever going to stop and see you, right?
There was a little bit red carpet left.
Yeah.
You know?
And basically, it's all TV from all over the world.
Yeah.
And right. then it's newspapers. And I mean, by the time they get down to radio, they're really the people would have to see the movie and go out the exit to talk to Dave.
Like I said, Taiwanese on one side, French on the other. It was awesome.
And that's how Dave got this amazing Tyrese interview.
Tyrese! Yeah, what's up, buddy? Tyrese!
How does he do it?
See? He was saying, I love you. Did you hear him talking to me?
I love you.
I'm guessing he wasn't talking to you because I watched it.
Not really, no.
The lovely Odette Yustman.
Oh, yeah.
Odette! Hi. Okay, that's the interview we have with Odette.
She waved hi right back
to me. Of course she did, Dan.
Why are you Eli?
Hi. Did she, do you think she recognized you at all from her appearance?
She did because she was looking and then she had that surprise look like, hey, it's you, it's that guy.
I know, yes.
It's that guy. I remember once.
Yeah, that was, she was completely.
She was walking by with her boyfriend, so like, hi.
She was faking.
I didn't want to ruin that.
Of course. You don't want him to see her love for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Travis Barker walks by. He's a friend of the show. He's been on many times.
Yeah.
And that's how Dave got this in-depth interview.
Travis! Travis! Hey, Travis! What's up, buddy? Good talking to you.
Yep, so that happened. That was good.
He was with his kid, so I didn't want to really bother him.
Yeah, well, of course. That's because you're a classy guy.
It
sounded like you didn't want to bother him.
Yeah.
So then he goes to Mark Hoppus. Mark Hoppus has been on the show many times. Friend of the show.
Okay. Mark! What's up, dude? Let's go!
All I need is Tom DeLonge, and I got a whole Blink-182 reunion.
Yeah, I don't know that counts as a reunion. You shouting their names? It's not a reunion.
Mark Hoppus gave me the what's up, the hi from afar.
Yeah. Really? So you're saying somebody at a red carpet premiere heard their name called?
And waved to
me. And waved?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he waved to me.
That's pretty strong.
You know, we cool.
Okay, so Dave the King Waxco on the red carpet for Transformers 2 got to interview Shia LaBeouf. Who we've also had.
Here we go.
Yeah, we've also had on the show.
Great
guy. And is a friend and a great guy, yeah.
Hey, Shia! What's up, man? What's up, baby? Shia!
So you got that. We got that for you. Taylor Swift was there.
Oh.
Taylor Momsen.
I'm sorry. Momsen. I said that wrong.
The gossip girl.
Okay.
Not quite as hot, but okay.
Yeah. But the interview is
14.
Just as hot.
Taylor, can I get one question? Nope. Okay, cool. Thanks.
Alrighty.
All right, but that brings us up to Dave, the King of Mexico, interviewing face-to-face within a foot, about 12 inches of Megan Fox.
Oh, I'd like to be 12 inches of Megan Fox. Now, so what you're saying here is, although he has failed at this point,
correct.
It doesn't matter if you've played yourself at the plate into a full count. All that matters is what happens with the next pitch. When you hit a grand slam, it doesn't matter how many pitches it took
it
to
all
get
comes
there.
Down to this, baby.
Yeah, well, he didn't care about any of the others. This is what he wanted to do. So he's standing right across from her, and there are about, like he said, there's TV cameras on either side of him. So she's kind of fielding general questions from the group.
Okay.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, is Dave the King of Mexico. Can I get a drum roll, Bean? Do you have that? Kind of big.
Are you kidding? This absolutely is worth it. Yeah.
Dave the King of Mexico now interviewing Megan Fox.
Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
Hi.
That's
it.
It's not a question. That's a statement. Don't ask.
All right. That's it. Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
And did you hear her response? She's all like, oh, hello. And I was like, hi.
And who was the guy that called you a dumbass?
Oh, it was Booker from AMP.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You want to hear it again, or do we have time? Hear that in-depth?
Sure, yeah.
Hear that in-depth interview again? What? Was this your plan?
My plan the whole time.
It was to say, I'm going to ask you a question. Hello?
Well, I wanted to say, how you doing, but
okay,
I froze
but
up.
Big difference because
you couldn't get
it. You froze up. You couldn't get how you doing.
Hi.
Here's the difference between how you doing and hello. One's not a question. And the one you chose is not a question. It's just hello.
Dave, is it that you didn't have to come up with questions because you did not think she would ever stop? Is that what it was?
It was no game in full effect, and it worked. Because what happened? What happened at the end of that?
Hang on. I'm going to replay the interview first.
Okay.
And for then those who missed it?
Yeah, for those who missed all of the nuances.
Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
Hi.
That's
how
it. It's not a question. It's a statement. Don't ask.
By the way, she asked, how was I? She didn't ask anyone else but me. This guy. Right here. Yeah.
Megan Fox just blew me a kiss. What's up?
Look at that, ladies and gentlemen. And that, by the way, Dave didn't imagine that. That happened. That's on video.
Yep. And she did blow him a kiss, and that happened. And,
yes.
Oh, that's unbelievable. Dave got him. After that disastrous interview, I just want to ask one question. Hello.
Disastrous to you? Awesome to me.
Megan Fox just blew me a kiss. What's up?
That's right.
That's Dave's new catchphrase, by the way.
What's up?
What's up?
Dave, is that audio your ringtone on your phone right now?
Hi, how are you? How are you? That's a.
That's the ringtone. You couldn't even say that.
Not her telling me.
Oh, all right.
You know, that's what it is.
Let's all talk about Megan Fox.
Well done, Dave.
Thank you. Well done, Dave. Yeah.
Let's all talk about Megan Fox.
Foxy lady. Now, first thing this morning, we talked to our token Kevin Bean Black listener, Anel Rivers, who is on the phone with us again right now. He, this morning, Kevin, if you'll recall, told us that he was one of the lucky few, one of the lucky couple of thousand that got tickets to the Michael Jackson Memorial at Staples Center tomorrow. After out of more than 1.5 million requests, Anel got them.
Yeah.
But they're making him jump through hoops. Let's find out how it's been going for him since we spoke with him first thing this morning. Hey, Anel, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Hey, good morning.
So you had to go to Dodger Stadium to pick up your tickets for Staples Center.
Yes, and that's the neighborhood I love going to first thing in the morning.
I know you do.
Great part of town to get to.
Now, they're going to be doing an overflow place, right, across the street at Nokia?
Yeah, well, here's the deal, man. Basically, if you do not have one of these little voucher things, if you don't have the magic ticket, don't even try to get near Dodger Stadium. Yeah. Not going to happen.
Not Dodger Stadium and also not Staples Center. You can't, like, congregate outside. They're closing down roads and everything else.
Yeah, that's what we heard.
Because people are flying in from all over the world, literally from Europe and everywhere else, to be here.
Yeah.
Right. So you walk on in here, or you drive in, rather, and first thing they want to do is check your tickets, hit you with the barcode scanner, make sure you're legit, because there's a bunch of fakes going around.
Okay.
And I tell you, remarkably smooth. It's pulled over to the side. You got a police escort to the top of the hill. The parking lot at Dodger Stadium is completely empty, save for the booths and cones that are set up. You drive right up like a drive-through, and they strap one of the very, very extremely gold, sparkly, gay-looking wristbands that I have to wear until tomorrow.
You can't take it off?
No.
Awesome.
So that's all for tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Yeah, and then they give you another of the gay, sparkly wristbands, and they give you two tickets.
Did they give you white socks and black shoes and that hat and a glove?
No. I had those already.
You had that. All right.
So basically, yeah, it's like it's security down here, man, demilitarized. I mean, there's cops everywhere flying around, man. They got them on Segways. They got them on the cars.
Nice.
Yeah, they're everywhere, man.
Snipers trained on you as you walk out.
Yeah, everything.
Hey, guys, I hate to bring this up because I don't know if this has been a conversation in the Los Angeles media in the last few days since we've been on vacation, but is this another deal like with the Lakers parade where the city is paying for some of this stuff? I mean, who's paying for all these police officers at Dodger Stadium this morning to navigate all this
stuff?
Well,
I heard that the city is having to pick up that tab because that's just part of their job is, quote-unquote, protecting citizens, right? But yeah, they are trying to get private donors to kick in. So far, they haven't found anyone.
Really? What a surprise.
Well, the city and the state have tons of money, so.
Does anybody want to
They don't
offer
have any
us
choice.
Some cash? Anybody?
They can't do sponsorships. I mean, we can't put stickers on the coffin, like a NASCAR or something.
I heard the extra police just for tomorrow came to about $2 million.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So, Anel, when you said that you need to show a ticket to kind of get up the hill at Dodger Stadium, is what you're referring to what you were emailed, the printout that from your computer that said you have won the lottery?
Yeah, basically, it's just like any other contest. You got to go to Ticketmaster, and, you know, once they give you the code, you go to Ticketmaster and punch in, and they give you a code to put in. Once you put the code in, it'll generate another one of the good old-fashioned, you know, print-your-own Ticketmaster
sure.
tickets.
Gotcha.
You print it on up and you go, you know, go do your thing.
And when the police were going with you up the hill, did you pull over repeatedly?
No. Out of reflex, no, but I did keep my hands on that 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock.
Anel is a guy who, from every single concert that he goes to, gets pulled over by the police.
Mm-hmm.
Rightfully so, I'd like
to
say.
Well, it's the dreadlocks and the weed smell coming out of his car, obviously.
All right, last couple of questions here, Anel, and it's awesome that you're going to be our Kevin and Bean correspondent for this event tomorrow, but did you get any information about what you're supposed to do tomorrow in terms of parking? Because I understand that they're closing Staples Center down to almost everybody from every direction.
Yeah, but what they told me, if you don't have on one of these little twinkly winkly wristbands, you're not getting in. And when I tell you these are some unique wristbands, I don't think you could find anything gayer than this on the planet if you went on a gay scavenger hunt on Gay American Day.
I didn't know there was a Gay American Day, but they probably made something up special for this because they're looking for something that'll be tough for people to just duplicate in a hurry, I guess.
This is gay sauce with gay sauce on top.
How dare you? Now, are you doing Staples Center? You're in the overflow.
Yeah, I'm in the Staples, man.
He's in.
I was on the 30th car in line, man.
Wow. So,
I was listening with the wackos, man. I've been listening to, I've heard Bad no less than 40 times this morning.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what you're going to be looking at on stage at Staples Center tomorrow? Has that information been revealed about who's speaking or singing or whatever is going to happen?
I have not the slightest clue. I figured it'll be the typical assortment of, folks, we have kind of a go-to list, when something goes down.
Yes.
You get your Jesse.
Right.
Johnny, unfortunately, is no longer part of that committee. So I figured it'll be the regulars. Maybe we'll get some Beyonce.
Our producer Alex says that it's Mariah Carey's going to be singing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Mariah Carey.
Yep.
Okay. I'm sure Smokey Robinson will be speaking along, Diana Ross and people like that, I'm sure. All right, well, good time. So now all you have to do is try not to get rolled in the neighborhood for somebody trying to steal this stuff that you got this morning.
Yeah, now I got to wear a long-sleeve shirt on an 85-degree day in the ghetto. Thank you very much. Yeah.
No, you need to check out eBay and just see what you can get.
Oh, definitely. I'm in there right now.
All right.
All right. Great update, Nell. Thank you very much, and we'll definitely be checking in with you throughout the day today and tomorrow. Have a good time, dude.
Good,
we've got a huge 8 o'clock hour planned for you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Almost worth us being on vacation for all that time to come back for this next hour, because we got a world premiere of a brand new song from Paramore called Ignorance for you that's coming up in about 10 minutes or so. We also are going to check in with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com with all the very latest that we've been missing on the Michael Jackson story. And you've demanded it. We're going to fire up the hotline to heaven coming up in just a few minutes, too. That's all coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. How could we not fire up the hotline to heaven today? There must be a line of people waiting to talk to
us. Sure. Of course.
Ralph Garvin is here with our showbiz beat for a Monday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Really? Really? We're going to check in with Harvey for all the Michael Jackson news we may have missed. For all the Michael Jackson news we're missing.
Let me tell you something here.
Screw you.
Ralph,
screw
I'm going to urge you to listen.
Screw
no,
you.
I'm going to urge you to listen next hour, because Kevin has a theory that we will discuss with Harvey that no one has mentioned on all of the media coverage that has happened so far since Jackson's death. How about that?
I find that hard to believe.
I'm telling you, you're going to be impressed.
And it's a decent theory, right?
It's not a bad theory at all. It's certainly worth consideration. So that's all coming up straight ahead here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, great story coming out of Modesto about a guy in prison. Okay, at the John LaTaraca Correctional Facility in Merced, California.
Okay.
Merced. Apparently, a 50-year-old inmate named Jeffrey Salary was locked up with a 21-year-old dude when news broke that Michael Jackson was dead. And apparently, the 21-year-old made some comment about Jackson being a whacked-out pedophile drug addict.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So Jeffrey Salary beat him almost to death, breaking his jaw.
Wow.
For disrespecting Michael Jackson, and said he had it coming.
Wow.
That is a passionate fan right there.
Wow.
I hope they let him out for the memorial tomorrow. So he can, Ralph, like Redman did with Farrah, hope he gets to visit.
I heard rumors, but I never saw anything confirmed, that there were some fans that committed suicide or tried to after the Jackson death. Did you hear anything about that?
No, but I encourage it.
Not enough of them.
Okay. I encourage it. If you are that lunatic, you should definitely take yourself out of the game, because the rest of us are trying to play on your board.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a pretty full world.
It is.
We can use some breathing
room.
If
you're leaning that way, let me give you the extra push, whatever it takes to make you actually pull the trigger, because seriously,
if you don't mind.
Yeah, we got plenty of people and not nearly enough room.
Right.
You're not needed.
On
the freeways. Yeah. Asses. So tired. I'm going, as I mentioned, in case you're just tuning in, I'm trying to go Michael Jackson free in the showbiz beat for as long as possible, because I think we've all just been force-fed this story for weeks now, it seems like. How long has it actually been?
It's been a month and a half.
10 days?
It's been less than 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah. So let's take a look at some other showbiz news, shall we? Top 10 movies at the box office. We do this every Monday morning, so you can see who's going to see what. A tie for number one, which rarely happens, between Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen, and Ice Age, Dawn of the Dinosaurs. They each made about $42.5 million this weekend, making them tied for number one. Then Public Enemies, The Proposal, The Hangover, Up, My Sister's Keeper, The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 at number eight, and then a tie for ninth and tenth, Year One and A Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian, rounding out your top ten of the box.
That My Sister's Keeper, I got to tell you, funniest thing since The Hangover. I laughed. Oh, hilarious.
You got Cameron Diaz in there. She's got the thing of goop in her hair, and it's all sticking out.
No, that was
and everything.
Something about Mary. That's different.
I must be confused. Doesn't Mary her sister, though, who was your keeper? Didn't she have a sister? She was a sister.
I don't think you know the... she was the mom in that story, I think.
I got you.
Yeah. I think she had a kid and then had another one for spare parts, because the first one had cancer and she wanted to make a marrow transplant or something. It's very complicated.
Good idea. Keep one back up.
Yeah.
That's right.
Speaking of kids, Tobey Maguire had a second child about 2 months ago, and we're just now learning the baby's name.
Wow.
Toby has been with his wife, Jennifer Meyer, for a couple years now. They've already got a two-year-old little girl named Ruby, and now they have announced the name of their son, Otis. Otis McGuire.
Otis.
I like it.
You do?
I do. I like it.
It's a horrible name. Unless you're a black soul singer,
yeah.
You got no business being named Otis.
Otis, my man.
It's a good dog.
It's coming back.
Yeah, it's a good dog name.
It is?
Wasn't there a famous movie about the cat and a dog? And it's Otis and something? Otis and Milo or something like that?
Otis.
Anyway, yeah,
that's not Otis. Doesn't seem like it's used very
well. Wait till Otis sees us. He loves us.
That's right.
Otis Day in the Nights. So congratulations, little Otis McGuire. Like, you're not going to get the snot kicked out of you every day of your life. Dad's Spider-Man.
Just for the emo Spider-Man movie.
Right. And then your name is Otis.
Yeah.
A lot of people get named after their parents' favorite singer. A lot of people. Maybe he just loves Otis Redding. I mean, maybe that's where it came from.
Or maybe he loves Otis the Drunk from the Andy Griffith Show. Maybe that's where it comes from.
Yeah, he's going to name his kid after a drunk.
That could happen.
Yep.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actresses Tia and Tamara Mowry. The Mowry twins from Sister Sister are 31. Apparently, the Mowry twins are no longer performing together. They have split up to pursue separate solo careers.
That's sad to see that happen.
You can't keep the Mowrys down.
Yeah.
50 Cent turns 33 years old today. Brian Posehn from Just Shoot Me and from The Sarah Silverman Show, 43 years old. Jeffrey Rush, a very talented actor, is 58. Did you ever see his movie about the life and death of Peter Sellers?
Yes.
No. It was an HBO movie. If you get a chance, Netflix, an excellent performance.
And he's great as the Roastmaster on those Comedy Central shows, too.
That's Jeffrey Ross.
Yeah, that's a different person.
So you can't applaud yourself.
Yeah, that is bogus.
You can't play the applause sound effect on your own joke. Come on.
Kill Whitey.
Oh, come on.
That's ridiculous. Operate your own laugh track. The Dalai Lama celebrates his 74th birthday, so from all of us here, hello, Dolly.
Come on. Really?
Where's the applause now? That's what I want to know.
You don't have any, do
you? Kill Whitey.
Let me see. What do I got? I'll play myself out with keyboard cat. How about that? President George W. Bush is 63, as is Sylvester Stallone, and Burt Ward, TV's Robin to TV's Batman, Adam West. He is 64 years old today. I'm Ralph.
Kill Whitey.
Stop killing Whitey. Thank you very much. It's great to be back. Try the veal. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Well, we asked and you demanded that we fire up the hotline to heaven. I mean, I don't know how, you know, after the couple of weeks that we've been off and all the stories that we missed, how do we not call up and find out, you know, who's standing by and who's ready to talk to us, right? Got no choice at this point.
Yeah. That's right. You got to do it.
Hello, heaven. Hi, this is Billy Mays for heaven.
Hi, Billy Mays.
How are you guys?
We're good.
What happened? We just saw you a couple of months ago. You looked healthy. Now at 50, you're dead. What happened? I know. I wish I'd been selling the awesome artery auger. I could have used a little clean out of my aorta.
Do you have to yell even in heaven?
I wish we had oxycholesterol clean. So my blood could have been cleaned of cholesterol.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hey, Billy, I don't know if you're
able... They did the autopsy on me. They used the dual saw. Too soon?
No, not at all.
Not for on yourself.
Yeah, you can make the joke. I don't know
my
if you saw
my arteries were clogged with Mighty Putty.
Well, that's unfortunate. All of your pallbearers showed up wearing the blue OxyClean shirts. Did you see them wearing those? Dressed
no,
just like you.
I'm dead.
Oh, I thought maybe you could watch it from above or something like that.
I was in the box. Well, listen, hard to see through the box.
Okay. We've got a very, very busy phone call. We've got to try to squeeze a lot of people in. Do you have the great Ed McMahon? Is he standing by? Could we hear from Ed, please?
Ed, they want to talk to you on the phone. It's Billy Mays for the Hotline to Heaven.
Right.
Yes.
Hi-oh.
Hey, Ed.
Yes.
How are you?
Dead.
Right, but how are things where you are?
Dead.
Have you had a chance to reconnect with Johnny Carson since you've been up there?
Yes.
And how did that go?
He's dead.
Right. All right. All right, dead. Ed. How about our favorite Charlie's Angel? Let's see if we can get Farrah Fawcett on the line, because unfortunately she passed away, I guess, the same day as Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
So, you know, she didn't get much coverage. But, yeah, Farrah's gone, too. Farrah, can you hear us?
Hi. How are you?
We're good. How are you, Farrah?
I'm still confused.
Yeah. Well, you always, like the last 30 years, you've been pretty confused, it seems like.
Yeah.
I know. What?
So,
am I dead?
Yes.
Yes. That's why you're in heaven. That's why you just met Ed McMahon.
Oh, I thought I was on Star Search.
No.
Hey, I wanted to ask this. Does your butt still hurt now that you're dead? Or are you okay?
Farrah? Cancer.
She had the anal cancer. Yeah, that's what killed her. It was the anal cancer. About.
All right. Well, apparently she didn't appreciate that joke either.
No, what?
Okay. She's just confused. Farrah, how about legendary Oscar winner Carl Malden, also known from the streets of San Francisco on TV? Is he in heaven?
Hey, how's it going?
Well, good. How about you?
Great. So I'm glad somebody's talking about me.
Yeah, well, yeah. The story, yeah. It's a big story in sports, but no one cares because of Michael Jackson.
No, Carl Malden's an actor. I'm an actor. I'm not in sports at all.
What are you talking about?
I'm an Oscar-winning actor at a popular TV series in the 70s called Streets of San Francisco.
That's what I meant.
Not in sports.
I even mentioned all that 5 seconds yeah. before we handed the phone to Mr. Malden.
Never played in sports.
Oh, like, this isn't confusing for people.
I'm just letting you, it's less confusing right. if you don't say I played in sports.
If I know.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Carl is a celebrity impressionist Fred Travellino, the Las Vegas legend. Is he in heaven there with you? Could we speak with Fred?
Sure. Fred?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Fred Travellino here. What if Jack Nicholson had died instead of me?
Well, I gotta tell you, I sure am dead.
Hey, what if Clint Eastwood had died instead of me? I can't believe I'm dead. Hey, wouldn't it be great if Jimmy Stewart was... Oh, Jimmy Stewart is dead.
Fred still doing the act up there, apparently, huh? How about a very sad story about former Tennessee Titans quarterback Steve McNair found dead just over the weekend, shot by his 20-year-old adulterous girlfriend. Is Mr. McNair there as well?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Steve, how you doing, man?
I'm not so good, man.
So you were an actor in the 70s?
No, I was a professional quarterback in the NFL with the Tennessee Titans.
I see.
Yeah.
You were very popular in Nashville, even though I know you ended your career with Baltimore, but you had this girlfriend on the side. You were married with 4 kids, but you were stepping out with a 20-year-old, and she shot you, Steve.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. She was not even that hot.
Really?
Not worth getting shot over.
Wow. No, I wouldn't think so at
and
all.
And I got a piece of advice for everyone who's listening.
Okay.
When you're got a crazy 20-year-old girlfriend, do not pass out and leave your semi-automatic weapon laying around.
That's a good tip.
Because that she will shoot your ass.
That's a good tip.
That's a bad combination right there.
Bitch shot me.
I'm sorry to hear that. It's tragic. You're so young,
damn.
Only 36, too.
Damn.
All right. We're almost out of time, but I guess we got to ask if Michael Jackson is too busy. Is there any way maybe he could speak with us as well?
Jam out!
All right, now we're
Michael,
getting somewhere.
How are you?
Kevin Bean, how are you?
We are good. Have you seen, are you able to watch from heaven any of the coverage, any of the fans, any of the hoopla?
I watched the first day or so and I just got bored with it.
Yeah.
Just, it's stupid.
Yeah, well...
I mean, it's me, and I'm bored with it.
Right. Well, it is a lot of repetition.
I don't need to see Billy Bush walking through an empty Neverland.
Yeah.
No. I mean, it's crazy. They're filling up every hour of every channel on TV since you died. It's insane.
I know, and I appreciate all the love and all the outpouring of support, but stop it.
Stop it.
Wow. Yeah. I just was a singer and a dancer, pretty much.
Now, the big funeral is tomorrow at Staples Center.
Yeah, I'm sorry I'm going to miss it.
Sounds like it's well, you'll be there. Time. No, I think you'll be there.
Nope. Not going to be there.
Right, but I think there's going to be a viewing, I think.
I don't think my body's even going to be there.
Oh, all right. No. Okay. Wow.
I think it's going to be just Jermaine.
That's it?
Holding a tin can. Looking for donations.
It's kind of sad.
My dad's going to drop by and sell his new records.
Yeah, that's pretty much 20 minutes after the body was found. Your dad was on TV pimping his new record label. How'd that make you feel, Michael?
My family is effed up.
Yeah, they really are.
They pretty much are.
And I'm the dead one. My dad outlived me.
I know. It is kind of crazy, right?
How's that for justice?
Well, Michael, we're going to miss you, man. You've been a lot of fun for us here on the Kevin and Bean Show over the years. I know we're almost out of time on the connection to the Hotline to Heaven.
You're not going
to
miss me because you got about a month more of coverage.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, that's
a month, are you saying?
A month.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
This is it. I mean, this is really it. This is the final curtain call. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
Yeah, well. He does mean that.
Yep.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com and TMZ Television joins us. I can't believe it's been 2 weeks since we talked to you, Harvey. Has anything gone on while we were on vacation?
No, that's been it.
I'm a guy, Harvey, who when I go on vacation, I try to get away from news. I try to get away from entertainment. I try to just disconnect and not pay attention, and it's been impossible.
Yeah.
No, people holding signs when you drive down the road, Michael Jackson. I mean, the coverage is just out of control, and you're right in the middle of it. So for those of us that, and I know some people are just crazy over this story, but for those of us that are not crazy over it, give us some of the insights that you think people might have missed.
Well, okay, the high points. You know, we broke the story that he died. And when we did, very quickly after we did, we started hearing about drugs.
Right.
And this is going to become a tale about doctors who have done shocking things to a human being and ruined his life. And then he may have died as a result of all of this.
Okay.
But that is really the headline to this story as far as I'm concerned. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on with the memorial, you know, a million people.
Right.
We found out Mariah Carey's going to come there and sing. It looks like she'll probably sing "I'll Be There." eBay, this frantic thing going on now. eBay's disabled the link, but the ticket sales almost immediately went to $10,000.
I'm sure.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah,
now, Harvey, getting back to the doctor for a second, there have been no shortage of people, reputable people, people who knew Michael Jackson, who have emerged in the last 10 days, who have said, look, I've been saying this for a long time. I've done everything but predict that this was going to kill him. Those people, I guess, were just ignored at the time, right?
Well, I mean, ignored, but I'm not sure how loudly people spoke. There were things privately going on, but let me tell you what I know.
Okay.
When Michael Jackson his body was found, essentially, he had dozens and dozens of injection points all over his body.
Right.
Dozens. Dozens.
Now, I heard Demerol the day of.
Well,
but then I read on your site this morning that's not the case.
Well, we've been saying this for a long time, that Demerol has always been a factor with Michael Jackson. There may have been multiple drugs in his system, and I have a feeling that's what you're going to find, that multiple drugs were in his system. Demerol was something that Michael Jackson had abused. We have heard that may be in his system.
That's a super powerful painkiller. For those of you who don't know, it's an injection. It's not a pill or anything.
But it's like a vitamin pill compared to the anesthesia that Michael Jackson had in his home when he died. We broke the story. It's funny because, the L.A. Poor L.A. Times.
you don't feel bad for him.
No, they've been following you every step of the way on this.
Well, but what they do is they ignore it. They pretend like their stories are new.
of course.
But it's funny. But I can tell you that last week we put a story up that the police found a drug called propofol in his home.
I've never heard of that.
Well, propofol is the drug when you go into surgery and they say count backwards from 10, you get to 7 and you pass out.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
the drug. It could never be administered at a home. It is shocking medical mispractice.
Really? That's a hospital only thing.
Do you think he was having surgery in his home?
No, let me tell you what I know. And we have talked a lot. Michael Jackson was an anesthesia addict. And he would go to various doctors for the most minor thing and ask them to either put him under or sedate him.
Really?
And it's sad, but he was. So this drug is found at his home. Now, you know, there was a doctor who was at the home who, and this is what I wanted to get to. There's a doctor who was at his home when he died. His name was Conrad Murray. Conrad Murray was there. He's the one that supposedly was doing the CPR when the paramedics arrived.
Right.
He's the one who delayed calling 911 a half hour because he didn't know the address.
He didn't know the address of the house?
Which is on Sunset, off of Sunset Boulevard.
Right.
Okay. So, Dr. Conrad Murray talked to the LAPD a week ago Saturday. We found out, we just put this up this morning, we found out that interview Conrad Murray had triggered a search warrant last Monday, a week ago today, at Jackson's house. Whatever he told them was enough to go to it for the LAPD to go to a judge and say we have probable cause to believe a crime may have been committed, and the judge issued a search warrant.
Okay.
They searched the house and they found this propofol. Okay, they find the drug.
They didn't find Demerol. They found only this.
Well, they found other drugs.
Okay,
but let me tell you why I'm telling you.
Okay,
this.
Go ahead.
When he talked to the LAPD, his lawyer, this Houston lawyer, came out and said, I can tell you that the doctor didn't give him Demerol and didn't give him OxyContin the day he died. And he was very clear about that.
Okay.
And that he's okay, that the LAPD isn't suspicious of him and the whole thing. I got the doctor's home phone number, and I called him last night.
The doctor, said, Michael Jackson's doctor?
Excuse me, I apologize. I got the lawyer.
Lawyer,
the doctor.
Okay.
And I called him last night, and I said, look, we are putting a story up saying that this propofol, they found it as a result of the interview that the doctor had. And he says to me, and I want to give you the quote, I'm looking at the site, he says to me on the phone, let me just find this real quick. He says, quote, I have no statement on whether the doctor prescribed or administered propofol. And I said, well, look, you say you have no statement. You were very clear that he didn't do Demerol or OxyContin. Why won't you say anything about propofol? And he just, he wouldn't answer. He wouldn't answer. So this morning, his spokesperson, the lawyer's PR person calls up and says, I woke him up at home. And he wasn't really conscious when he said it to me.
Yeah.
So let me just say to you that this was almost a 20-minute conversation. He repeated it multiple times. Quote, right. I have no comment on whether the doctor administered propofol. I can't admit or deny whether the doctor...
He was awake. Right. He was awake.
Talk to me about the LAPD investigation. So this is a huge deal.
But he had said specifically no on Demerol that day and OxyContin.
Specifically. Specifically.
All right, Harvey, I know you've got a million things to do. We have a couple more things real quick we have to ask you about. Kevin has a theory that he brought up this morning off air that we want to run by you because I haven't heard anyone even remotely suggest this in the 10 days of coverage since Jackson's passing. Kevin, what do you got?
Well, it's an absurd theory, but Michael Jackson. He's a weird dude and he had a lot of money. Is it possible that he hired that doctor to give him propofol to kill him? That he paid to have
to be
euthanized by the doctor?
I mean, look, I'll
I know it sounds out there. It's crazy.
Okay, first of all, I'm not saying that doctor gave him that propofol. Because I'm just telling you what happened on the phone. I mean,
right.
They
right.
clearly have questions for this doctor.
But think about the mindset of Michael Jackson not feeling prepared or healthy enough to do those concerts in London and the pressure that he felt.
Guys, I got to tell you something. And I'm not going to I can only say so much here. It's really interesting. There are people associated with the tour whose first reaction was he did it to himself. And the reason they said it, and I don't believe that to be true, but the reason they said it was they didn't think he could handle the tour. That for the most part, when he showed up, he was very lethargic, he wasn't engaged, he was late,
right.
And they didn't think he could pull off 50 concerts. And they were so afraid because they said, you know, he's such a perfectionist and wants this to be the best concert ever, and he wasn't up to it, that they were all... But I don't believe that's the case. I don't believe he took his life. I believe, I mean, guys, I don't know if you understand this. This is an IV drug. This is not a thing where you just take a pill or even a needle. It's an IV drug.
Yeah, I know my theory's way out there.
And,
but
yeah, I mean, I don't believe that.
Okay.
But it's funny that you say it because I do know that a lot of people's first reaction who have been involved in the performance and the rehearsals was... He could never do it, and it was just depressing him to no end.
Got it.
Interesting. Harvey, you get all the credit in the world for breaking this story. We don't have time now to find out how you did it, but it was fascinating to watch the media not know whether to rebroadcast what you put up on the site, which was that Jackson was dead, because there were so many people who said, yeah, I need to hear it from somebody other than TMZ before I'll believe it.
Right.
And
so
clearly,
happened.
You were right from the first second.
But the funny thing was that, you know, the LA Times got some gossip from some cardiologist and then put it up and said Michael Jackson's in a coma after we put our story up.
Right.
So they were so wrong. And then what happened was that some of the other media followed the LA Times down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And they started reporting an incorrect story.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That Jackson was in a coma. So it was very interesting watching traditional media basically grasp onto like secondhand gossip, put up a bad story, and then to watch the others do it.
And meanwhile, you, who they don't want to trust because you're quote unquote new media, you have actual reporters, actual sources, actual people giving correct information that they just don't want to believe. I know you're out of time. You can see more of this.
Of course. This is what's so interesting about it is that, I mean, if you look at the last 3.5 years, they've quoted us tens of thousands of times. So in terms of quoting TMZ, you know, from Mel Gibson to John Travolta's son's death to Heath Ledger to Britney Spears, all of this, to Anna Nicole Smith, they quoted us a million times. I think the difference here is they got so embarrassed, the traditional media, CNN, which followed the LA Times. I mean, CNN, the LA Times, all of the traditional media can't handle the fact that they're not built for the new, for the fact that, you know, people aren't getting their news
right.
at, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning every day. And I think that this was such a telling moment for them that all of a sudden, oh, my God, newspapers could actually die.
Absolutely.
And I think it was such a big thing for them that they've kind of reacted to it. But it's really interesting to watch the LA Times, CNN, and a lot of the other media just totally on the ropes on this story.
Harvey, we know you have to go. We're being told that you have to go. But Beyond Twisted is a new TV show that's on tonight right after TMZ TV.
On at 7 o'clock tonight. It's a really fun show that makes TMZ look like 60 Minutes.
There you go.
All right. Can't wait. Harvey, great. Thank you so much for squeezing us in. I'm sure we'll talk to you later.
Oh, no. Weekend. I love you guys. I'll see you later.
Thanks, Harvey.
Bye. Bye-bye.
We have a very favorite listener named Dewan, who we can't talk to enough. He's the best.
Yes.
Every time we talk to him, we fall more in love with him. There's a picture on the Kevin and Bean page of the website, and it's the picture of the day. And this is Dewan, who's celebrating the 4th of July at Psycho Mike's house.
What are you talking about?
How did this happen, Psycho Mike, that you got Dewan to come over to your house?
Well, Dewan and I are buddies, legit. I mean, we hang out a lot, and I just talked to him earlier in the week, last week, and I said, what are you doing for the 4th, dude? He said, I'm probably going to do nothing, just hang out by myself. And I was like, no, that's not an option. You're more than welcome to come over to my family's house for barbecue, pool party,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, watch a little parade. We'll do the normal kind of Americana 4th of July deal.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, okay, but I can't drive. You pick me up. And I said, consider it a deal. And I went over there and I picked him up on Saturday, and he came back and we partied.
See, this is funny because Mike and I are very similar in one respect, which is that neither of us have any friends and neither of us go out of our way to hang out with people. I would so have done the exact same thing. If I had the chance to hang out for the day with Dewan, I 100% would have gone over there and picked him up.
Yep.
So you pick him up at what time?
Well, the party at my parents' house started around 3. I picked him up around 1, and then we went back to my apartment, my wife and I's place, and we hung out there and cooked some food to prepare for the party, and then we cruised over to the to my parents' house, and there was no other guests there when we got there. We got there a little early.
What did your parents think about you bringing Dewan over? Because they got to be rich white folk, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and Beaners. I mean, you know, it's a they're a mixture of rich white folk and rich Beaner.
Right.
But Dewan, there's no other guest there, and it's a pool party because my parents have a pool and it's hot. But usually most people wait for like guests to get there and jump in the pool and like wait for other people. Dewan didn't even hesitate.
Just jumped right in.
Nice to meet you. Oh, I walk in the door. I said, hey, Dad, I'd like you to meet someone. This is my friend Dewan. Hey, Dewan, nice to meet you, my dad says. He says, oh, nice to meet you, Mr. Psycho.
He's the best.
So then he just peels down, just peels off his clothes right in the pool. And he's having himself a little pool party.
And there's
solo.
No one else in there.
No. There's no one else in there.
You're not in there.
No.
No one.
No one.
Okay.
Solo.
All right. So he's having fun. He's swimming.
Yeah, having fun swimming. And then the guests start to arrive. And the thing I noticed that I love about Dewan is that he's like a child in that he doesn't have any impulse regulation. If Dewan wants a soda, he's going to drink a soda.
Right.
If Dewan wants to wash down that soda with a hot fudge sundae, he's going to wash it down with a hot fudge sundae. Where most of us, we'd say, you know, we probably shouldn't have dessert first.
Right.
You know, like, Dewan doesn't care.
He lives for the moment.
If he goes to the appetizer table and he's like, well, there's not that many of this appetizer left, so I'll go have this one. I'll leave some for everybody else. Mm. Dewan's like, no, I'll just take the serving tray to my seat and I'll eat that appetizer because that's the one I like.
He's the best.
And,
so how many people were there total when everyone got there?
Probably about 60.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, yeah,
okay.
I mean, it was like
big
a
party.
Yeah. And he probably took 400 pictures.
Really?
Wow.
Of himself with other people?
Yeah,
or just...
yeah. Psycho Mike, take a picture of me and Jenny.
Nope,
take a picture of me and your mom.
You have to do his voice if you're going to do...
Psycho Mike, take picture of me and your wife. So I do that.
Do you think it's possible that he nailed your wife while there? Because I'm
Jenny would do it, though, right?
Saying,
I mean, yeah
but, you know, Jenny's been walking normal, so I would imagine
okay,
it's not.
No.
It didn't happen that weekend.
All right.
Now, is Dewan the kind of guy, because I haven't had a chance to hang out with him as much as you have, who will start conversations with other people at the party, even if he doesn't know him, or did he just pretty much just talk to you and your wife?
100%. And his big hot button topic was, Arnold Schwarzenegger and needing to get him out of office. And he would just start
what was
up.
He, what was his why? I mean, I know that we're having financial trouble and everything. But.
My father-in-law, for instance, here's it. You're my father-in-law. I'm Duan. Sits down. Hi, my name's Alan. Nice to meet you, Duan. We need to get rid of the governor.
No small talk to get into it?
He's really ruining my day.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's he doing that's ruining his day?
Well, Duan got a new job at a drug rehabilitation center.
Okay.
And I guess the governor's thinking about cutting funding to social services drug rehabilitation centers.
I see.
So he has probably been at work hearing a lot of negative things about the governor.
I see.
But he did not stop talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger is bad for California. And when he would take pictures, I always thought was funny, he'd take pictures of completely random things. Like he would walk up to the grill while my dad was cooking and he'd just take pictures of hot dogs.
Not your dad cooking
these
hot dogs?
Hot dogs. I'm like, yes, they are.
I'd like to see a slideshow from that.
His MySpace and Facebook have all those in their own photo album. They're okay. All, if you guys would like to go and check them out. And my favorite part of the day.
Give the Facebook address.
His MySpace name is Twisted Firestarter. I don't know what his Facebook is, but
okay. We got to put some links up on our website so people can check out.
We can have the King of Mexico do that. As he's getting out of the pool, he says, "Psycho Mike, can I have my own room to change and get ready again?" And I was like, "Yeah, of course." He's like, "My hair is different than your hair." Yes, it is. Yes,
this is
it
better.
Is.
Did he sing the Tootsie Roll for the crowd?
No
did he,
singing.
Did he entertain?
Everybody loved him.
Of course.
You can't help but love Duan.
He's like a puppy. That's why.
But he took a certain liking to some females at the party, my wife included, and he just didn't seem to want to leave them alone.
He's smart.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, he was really happy. I dropped him off on my way to I had to be on the air Saturday night, so I dropped him off on the way. And he was very happy that he came, and he seemed to have a really good time. So
how about
I want Duan to come live in my barn so much. It'd be so awesome.
That's an attractive offer, Bean.
No, but seriously, every single day when I go down to feed like the cows and pigs and stuff, there'd be Duan. We could just hang out and chat while I clean up. It would just be the highlight of my whole day.
But you can't toss him in the back porch. You can't.
I got room in the barn, though. I'm just saying. It'd be so much fun. Got to make that happen. Good times.
Well, I'll let you know that if you promise to give him a ride, he'll probably go.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us for a final look at the showbiz beat. Do I understand correctly that you are Michael Jackson free in this report, Ralph?
I have made a promise to myself and to my listeners that I will not do Michael Jackson news.
Sad week. So many things happened. A lot of deaths.
Yeah, that's right, Ralph.
We lost Farrah Fawcett.
Mm-hmm.
We lost Sky Saxon, the lead singer of The Seeds. And, of course, Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
World phenomena.
Yeah, he is.
He was a phenomena.
That's true. It's a world phenomenon.
He was a world phenomenon.
He was.
It's hard to argue. A phenomena.
That's hard to argue, right?
He just called him a phenomena.
He did.
That's right.
Yes, he did.
That's like, he talks like one of the Fat Albert's friends, one of the Cosby kids. And remember that old cartoon they all hang out in the junkyard?
World phenomena.
Hey, but Albert, you a world phenomena.
World phenomena.
Michael Jackson is dead. Rodney Bigenheimer is still alive, ladies and gentlemen. Get your mind around that.
Yeah.
Black people are dissatisfied.
That's true. They should be.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend.
The Michael Jackson song called Smooth Criminal.
Yes, not criminal. Not criminal.
The news makes you sad. Don't watch it.
All right, Rodney. We got to move on.
Criminal.
Criminal. Smooth criminal.
Criminal.
He is a phenomenon.
He's a phenomenon in his own right.
That DJ is on our station.
Yeah.
That rules.
They leave him there, too.
They do?
He doesn't sneak in. It's not like he's sneaking in and doing a pirate radio show.
They know he's here.
He's got a key card.
He's got
a security key card that opens the front gate.
That's right.
And collects a paycheck for that show.
That's correct, yes. You know what he is?
World phenomena.
He is a phenomena. He's absolutely a world phenomena. Top 10 movies at the box office we take a look every Monday morning. Transformers Revenge of the Fallen is tied with Ice Age Dawn of the Dinosaurs. You don't see that very often, a tie for first place.
No, you really don't.
And that'll shake out today once they get the final numbers in. Somebody will win.
Yeah, but it's got to be within probably a couple $1,000 one way or the other.
Yeah,
That tight.
That's pretty close.
$42.5 million is good enough to make them both number one. Public Enemies.
World phenomenon.
Different Public Enemies. It's about John Dillinger, the gangster. Johnny Depp's new movie in its debut weekend made 26 $1 million.
I saw that. That was pretty good.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm dying to.
Who's the chick with the bonker eyes?
She's not bonker eyes. Yes. She's stunning. Yeah, she's Marion Cotillard.
She's a great actress.
She is a great actress, and she's beautiful.
Her
beautiful
eyes, girl. Bonkers.
They're not bonkers. They are. She has they beautiful are. Eyes.
Bonkers.
That's
they're
what they
not,
are.
No, they're not. She's a stunning woman. She's just exotically beautiful. She's not your standard beauty, but she is breathtaking.
Bonkers.
That's all I'm saying.
The Proposal was number 3. Hangover was number 4. Then Up, My Sister's Keeper, Taking a Pelham 1-2-3, and Year One at Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian. These goddamn titles are just too damn
yeah,
long.
Yeah, they are.
They were tied for a 9th place. So there you go. Speaking of deaths, another death yesterday. Celebrity death, sort of. Alan Klein. If you were a fan of the Beatles or the Rolling Stones. You knew Alan Klein's name. He was their manager towards the end of the Beatles' career. He was their manager and also managed the Stones.
Would you say he was a
world phenomenon?
He was a phenomenon, absolutely.
Right. He certainly contributed to the Beatles breaking up, didn't he, Ralph?
Yeah, he was a total slime ball.
Oh, really?
They brought him in to run Apple Records when they started up that Apple Corps, their corporation.
Before the computers?
Going. Yeah. Yeah, before the computers.
All right.
And they were just bleeding out money, and they brought him in to fix things, and he just made things worse. He was a total scumbag all accounts. In fact, my favorite story is he represented George Harrison when Harrison was being sued for plagiarism because when he wrote My Sweet Lord, they said it sounded too much like He's So Fine, that old song.
Okay.
So dude is representing Harrison George Harrison during that court proceeding. During the proceeding, he goes and buys the rights to He's So Fine, the song that is suing George Harrison for plagiarism. So he was defending George Harrison and suing him at the same time.
He was suing himself?
What? He was playing both sides against the middle. So when Harrison had to pay all that money, he paid the guy who was supposed to be representing him.
Yeah, he's a bad dude.
That's how he rolls.
That sounds bad, but brilliant.
It is. It's evil. He's an evil genius.
Wow.
So anyway, he's dead. We're all happy.
Bonkers.
And how's this for a super group? Dave Grohl.
I mean.
Josh Homme. From Queens of the Stone Age, and John Paul Jones of Led Zeppelin.
Sure.
How's that for a power trio?
I couldn't take this news when I heard this. When this leaked,
it's
I was
too good.
Dead.
Apparently they're working together here in Los Angeles, working on an album.
No Sammy Hagar, though?
No Sammy Hagar, no. the word is Dave's on drums, Josh on guitar, John Paul Jones on bass, and rumors have it that Faith No More's Mike Patton may be singing for the band. So it may be a quartet instead of a trio. But anyway, they're all working on music right now, and that sounds like one of the greatest things ever.
That does sound good.
Mike is touching himself.
Yes, he
right
is,
now.
And I wish he was about this.
Have you seen the email I sent you with the nude girl skydiving?
I have not.
I haven't either. Oh, I sent it to you. You gotta check it out.
All right, we'll do.
Yeah. Just, I'm not saying what happens while she skydives, but it involves...
Oh, dear God.
Her mouth is open?
Her mouth is open, exactly. Yeah. Right.
I am in shock.
Same. Lisa. Listen to Lisa. She was so happy for 2 weeks.
Outrage.
Didn't have to put up with us, and now she's back in the boys' club, and she's just moaning and groaning.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. I'm just saying, as the wind goes by.
Mm-hmm.
The Dalai Lama is 74 years old today.
Don't say it. Don't you dare say it.
He's a world phenomenon. Yes. Hello, Dolly. He is 74. George W. Bush is 63 years old today, as is Sylvester Stallone. Kevin said earlier he would like to see them in the ring together.
That would be good.
Rocky 8. Jeffrey Rush is 58. Brian Posehn. Posehn?
Yep. Yes.
He
in
is
the membrane,
43
right.
years old. Rapper 50 Cent is 33.
Yeah.
T and Tamara Mowry, the Mowry sisters from Sister Sister, are 31 years old. And actor Burt Ward, who played Robin on the TV series Batman, celebrates his 64th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
World phenomena.
Back from vacation, very excited to welcome to the studio a rare visit from our token Kevin and Bean blacklister. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Anel has joined us.
Hey, thank you. I'm very well. How are you doing, my friends?
Well, we're excited to see you because we talked to you on the phone this morning as you were heading your car down to Dodger Stadium. You won the lottery. You have a ticket
for the Michael Jackson funeral at Staples Center tomorrow.
Yes, I rule. You all suck. Thank you. Thank you.
Now, there was over a million and a half people that tried to get these 17,000 tickets, right?
Yes, sir.
And
that's correct.
You go online and just put in your name, and they came back and said yes?
Total luck of the draw. I'm sitting around last night, 10 o'clock, you know, doing my my nightly ritual of getting high and wallowing in my sorrow. And all of a sudden, my email went off, and I figured it was Bean mocking me because I didn't win. And, you know, I went in, I said, wait a minute. This thing says congratulations. That's good. So I went to reading it more, and first I had to go back and check the thread. I knew it came from here.
Yeah,
I
said, somebody has to be.
I said, somehow we were these guys with been you, off right? 2 weeks. They've had way too much time on their hands. And yeah, but then no, sure enough, I went through the whole procedure, put the code in, the Ticketmaster thing came up, and I'm sitting here looking.
So this morning, you went to Dodger Stadium.
Yeah,
you picked up the tickets.
Yeah, you hear those sound here?
And wristband.
That's a sound of $20,000 in my pocket.
Is that what they're going for?
You know, Alex and I were in the other room checking eBay, and the bids are ranging. They got a couple of jokers, I think, on there, advertising at $10,000 and whatnot, and with the fake bids. But they're going between, I think, 15 was the lowest one I've seen so far.
1500?
Yeah, 1500, yeah. And the highest one I saw was like $20,000.
Wow.
Isn't it so weird, though, that it's going to be on TV. It's going to be on the internet. People want to be there in person. I understand that. But basically, we have no idea what's going to be going on stage. We don't know how long the event is going to be, how much performances they're going to be. Is the body going to be there? I mean, you really don't know what you have a ticket for at this point yet.
No. For all I know, it could be, a big, hoax to try to kill all the Michael Jackson fans at the same time by Al-Qaeda. I don't know.
Have them deported.
Yeah. That would be even better. But, everything in my body tells me, sell this ticket.
Right.
Get rid of this. My only concern is, the tickets are right next to each other.
Right.
So if I do, in fact, want to go to this ceremony.
Oh, so you have two tickets.
I have two tickets.
So you could sell one.
I could sell one.
But what if?
Well, here's the thing. As you can see over here, you guys on the radio can't see, but I'm holding up a nice, twinkly, sparkly gold wristband.
Yes.
That looks nice against my sexy cocoa skin. Mm-hmm. But basically, they put this thing on you at Dodger Stadium, and they told you specifically, do not take this off.
Okay.
If the wristband is tampered with in any way, you will not be admitted, even if you have a ticket.
Wow.
Really? Okay. So you have to wear it all night, all afternoon, all night?
All day, okay. All night, all afternoon.
So you have one other wristband.
I have one other wristband. Okay. I have a loose wristband, and I have two loose tickets.
Wow.
And as soon as I figure out how to get this thing off my wrist, because I can't make love to my wife with this thing on my wrist. Man.
And you can't skip a night.
And I can't skip a night. No. I know, man. I got to stay fit. So
for folks, obviously, they're telling you don't go down if you don't have a ticket. If you don't have what Anel has, which is the authorized wristband and ticket, don't go down. But what kind of instructions are they giving you for tomorrow? What time are you supposed to be in Staples Center tomorrow?
They said that the ceremony starts at 10 a.m. I figure with the pandemonium and madness, my plan is I'm going to go ahead and catch the train in. That's why.
Good idea.
Yeah, they blocked the. I mean, literally, it's like ground zero. They've blocked everything off.
Yeah, it's not like you can just go down and be outside. The police won't let you.
No, you
near
won't
it.
Even get with an eye shot of Staples Center. You know how the area's set up.
Right.
I mean, you're going to be far.
Yeah.
Now we're fascinated with the coverage of the event tomorrow and stuff. But let's take it back a step. The reason you want to be there is it pretty significant to you? I mean, is this an emotional tug to you, Michael Jackson? He has been a significant part of your life, Anel?
Not at all. No. No. Look, first of all, me and Mike have no emotional tugs going on of any kind.
Yeah.
Let's get that straight, allegedly.
No rubs, no tugs.
No rubs, no tugs, no bumps, nothing. Here's the deal, man. Honestly, my wife is the one who kind of said, you know what? Let's see if we can get tickets to go. You know, we missed the Obama. We missed the inauguration. And let's see if we can get ourselves to be part of some history here in the 21st century. So I said, all right. You know, so I went ahead and applied. My wife, my cousin, a couple friends of mine, everybody pretty much I know. And, I came out the winner. And, I part of me wants to be there. You know,
Of course.
You know, I'll be honest with you, man. The adult in me does not necessarily agree with Michael Jackson's lifestyle. But the frosted, weak kid inside of me, he still likes Mike. You know what I mean? He still loves Beat It. And I watch those videos, and I remember my childhood. And, I do kind of want to go, but at the same time, you know me and crowds, man, I don't do very well.
You have more than just a frosted weed kid in there, though.
Yeah, I know. I know.
You have a couple.
Well, listen, is going to be our correspondent. We are going to be checking in with him throughout the morning on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show as he approaches, gets into the venue, and then we don't know whether he's going to be able to call from inside Staples Center now, but you will definitely be our man on the scene for tomorrow. And congratulations on getting that ticket, dude. That's awesome.
Well, thank you very much. I do appreciate it. And just for I'll put the word out there, I do have a auction, maybe.
Mm-hmm,
I might have an auction going on eBay. I might.
Okay.
I might could. and you might could go check it out.
Okay.
And if you have money and cash in hand, and you're not a freaky dude, doesn't mind sitting next to a 300-pound black man, let's talk business.
What do they look for? I'm sure there's more than just one pair of tickets up there.
Yeah, I mean, well, you would
probably
have to look.
Probably where the seat is.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you guys right now. I have a seat in Premier 3, Section 1. Okay,
that sounds good.
I think is like there's that bottom section, and then I think it's
the next tier right above. Yeah, I don't think it's the floor.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure the floor is going to be LaToya and Reedy.
It's below the suites though. It's really those are good
nice.
Seats.
Yeah, those are great seats. So if you happen to see Premier Section 3 Row 1, that would be your boy, man. Go on ahead and help my kid get through college, man. You know what I'm saying? Let's be real. I'm not saving anything.
Ralph Garman joins us on a Monday afternoon with a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
As we do every Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Transformers Revenge of the Fallen and Ice Age Dawn of the Dinosaurs tied for longest worst title this weekend. Oh no, I'm sorry, it tied for number one at the box office this weekend. 42.
Did you see the Transformers at all over the holiday
break? I saw not one film over the entire vacation time that we
took. Megan Fox is attractive.
What?
Yep.
The actress from Transformers is good looking?
That's what I'm going
to
tell you.
I hadn't even noticed that before. Maybe I'll have to check it out.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Explosions, unbelievable. Everything else, pretty crappy.
And your pants, you mean? Is that what you're talking about?
No. Word up, word up. You did not.
$42.5 million made them tied for first. Public Enemies was number two.
Yeah, boy.
No, it's a different Public Enemy. This is about gangsters in the 30s. The Proposal was fourth. The Hangover was fifth. Then Up, My Sister's Keeper. Someone asked me if I said, was there a movie called Up, My Sister's Keister? I said, no. Up was sixth. Then My Sister's Keeper was seventh. The Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3, and Year One, and A Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian tied for number.
You're saying shorten the names.
I'm just saying, what happened to good old sequels with numbers?
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah.
Rocky 1, Rocky 2, Rocky 3, Rocky 4. We get it. We know what the movie is. I don't need Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian with Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen, and Ice Age, Dawn of the Dinosaurs. You. How about that for a movie title?
I would go to that.
I would too. Speaking of movies, I've been following the latest trend in Hollywood, which is to make crappy movies out of crappy concepts.
Sure.
We've talked about Monopoly, the movie, Battleship, the movie, Stretch Armstrong, which is a toy in the 70s, is going to be made into a movie. Well, here are the two of the latest and greatest ideas for movies. From the producers of the remake of Short Circuit, remember we talked about that? Horrible film?
Yes.
Where Mike thought some robot raped a bitch in a tub or something. Turned out not to be the case.
He was a little wrong.
Yeah. T.J. Hooker, the movie, is in the works.
At least there's characters there, I guess. I never watched it, but
it was just a cop show. It was just a cop show.
You could make it into a movie.
You could make a cop movie. You could make a brand new cop movie.
Yeah, you can.
I'm sure there's a perfectly good cop script lying on some producer's desk somewhere from a writer who's not going to get his movie made because they got to make T.J. Hooker the movie.
And it's not like there's T.J. Hooker fans out there that are so in love with that character that they're going to line up to see it.
And how can a hooker be a cop? It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, it's his name, Gilligan. How great it would be if Chris Pine played T.J. Hooker. Like the biggest F you to William Shatner ever. I'm going to take all of your roles and just make new movies about them. And also, let's not forget Viewmaster, the movie.
Okay, now that's a joke, though, right? That's coming from
Viewmaster,
right?
Viewmaster, no.
That's
a movie.
Those little plastic binoculars.
Viewers you would look into, and you would push the button on the side and would make this little reel go around, and you'd see 3D images. In it, that is going to be a movie.
Maybe if they changed it to, like, you could see the future, you could see the past. I mean, something.
I'm hoping when you pull the plunger, daggers shoot out of it and plunge into your eyes, and it's a very short film. Just a guy screaming.
Refresh my memory on the Viewmasters. What kinds of pictures did you look at? Was it like, hey, see the Grand Canyon?
They had that.
Yes.
There was a lot of that sort of travelogue stuff, but they also would have movies and TV shows and stuff. You get, like, the Scooby-Doo one. You put it in there, and you can see Scooby and Daffy.
What years? Were those 70s?
60s through the 80s,
oh,
really,
awesome.
Yeah. I've had about a 20-year run there as sort of a standard
toy
for
during
kids.
Those 20 years, always crappy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And lastly, I forgot to mention Asteroids, the movie. The classic video game Asteroids is being made into a movie.
So my little triangle that I'm turning around in circles and blasting.
Exactly. Yes, you get
all
to
right.
do that.
That's
so
gonna
that'll
be a good movie,
very
right?
Exciting.
I want a good movie.
I'm praying for Michael Bay. I'm hoping he signs on for Asteroids. Speaking of which, did you hear about the little fallout between Michael Bay and Megan Fox? Speaking of.
No. Well, she's right and he's wrong, whatever it is.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's got his nose out of joint because Megan Fox told a reporter recently that Michael focuses more on special effects than acting when you're working with him.
Right.
He takes umbrage to that.
Oh, please, that's a secret? That's,
that's what I'm saying. She's not saying anything we don't already know. But Michael Bay has said, oh, after launching names like Nicolas Cage, Ben Affleck, Will Smith, and Martin Lawrence, I beg to differ.
Hmm. Yeah.
Megan may want to be a little more grateful and has some growing up to do.
Ouch.
Yeah.
She has kind of been talking down this movie, which I think is delightful.
It's
been delightful. She's basically been saying on red carpets, even at the world premiere, she's been saying, look, you know what you're getting. Nobody's going there to see great acting or a great story. You're just going to see people get stuff blown up. That's it.
She's super hot. The explosions are great. The special effects are great. The eye candy is amazing. The rest of the movie really kind of is bad.
Yeah.
And Michael needs to recognize that, yes, he made movies with Nicolas Cage, Ben Affleck, Will Smith, and Martin Lawrence, and they were all bad. So don't take too much pride in Bad Boys 2, whatever the F it was, if you directed that, man. Today's celebrity birthdays, Tia and Tamara Mowry. The Mowry twins from Sister Sister are 31 years old today. 50 Cent turns 33.
Yeah!
Brian Posehn from The Sarah Silverman Show is 43 years old today. Jeffrey Rush celebrates his 58th birthday. Sylvester Stallone celebrates 63 years of pumping iron. George W. Bush is 63 as well. The Dalai Lama celebrates his 74th birthday, and Burt Ward, who played Robin on the old TV series Batman, celebrates his 64th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.